Maybe let's start by saying we have two entities today, SABC, CASA, and we'll be done after that. Let me welcome all of you. I'm sure at the right time there will be introduction of some of our guests, particularly SABC. But I welcome you in advance so that when we get there we don't come back to that. Members, we hear that Minister Mokonyane lost the sister. That is why she's not here. The elder sister lost the elder sister. And surely she won't be with us. When dealing with this most important SABC chapter and the CASA. But I must say, members, we are going to circulate a draft program by Friday. So that it reflects what we are going to do as we promised in the next quarter. We deferred some of the items in our last program to the next financial year. One of those items is oversight in MDDA and FPB. That was to take place next week. The other one will be the issue that we have been reporting, the state capture issue. Or rather, what was communicated to us by the Deputy Speaker, the inquiry on Honorable Faith Mutambi, as per the outer report. The next quarter program will reflect those issues. Remember, members, when you start the inquiry, you must be well prepared because it's going to consume most of your time, as it is happening in a public enterprise. Over and above the consumption of your time, surely there must be a dedicated legal person from the institution who's going to do what Advocate Vanara is doing in public enterprise and what he was doing in the ad hoc committee. So you just need that person. So all those matters will be discussed when we come back, putting the matter in our agenda, whether we take the route of inquiry or we start investigations. So The matter will be in the agenda for the next term, whether we proceed with the inquiry or we do it differently. Differently because of what emerged during the ad hoc committee processes. So we'll have to engage on the matter whilst it's in the program. So I'm just saying those matters will be put in the agenda for discussion so that we know what we are doing. Those are the first items that I thought it will be important for us to raise as we start the meeting. A decision will be taken by the meeting when we meet in April as to what do we do in relation to the issue at hand. That's one thing. But today we are going to deal with quarter two report from SABC and ICASA. But on SABC, honorable members, as we deal with quarter two, the department and the SABC will have to elaborate more on what we have read in media. There was a lot this weekend, the changes and this and that. But as I was saying, we want to hear from the department and SABC, not through media. So give us the facts on those matters. Maybe you can also talk about the Q7, is it Q7 or Q5? That has been gathering dust underground parking of SABC. Those matters are of public interest because people read about them. And then they develop their own analysis out of it as to what kind of national broadcaster SABC is. Deputy Minister, those are the issues that we are going to deal with in regards to SABC. But there are apologies that we received here. The new member, Honorable Kaba, has family commitments, Nivot, Drachen, another committee, Mbinda, another meeting, Madisha, another meeting. I've already raised the bereavement of the Minister of Communication. And from ICASA, it's Mr. Mutlaluha, the chairperson of ICASA. So those are the apologies. Deputy Minister, you will, as usual, take us through the issues that you want to brief us on as the department. But your delegation is welcome, both SABC and ICASA. Over to you, Minister. I don't know if you want to have anything to say in relation to apologies. Welcome, Pumzile. The meeting starts at 10. Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm going to introduce the team that I'm with, and I think they're very familiar to you. Of course, the chair of the SABC, together with the acting CEO, CFO, and the COO are with me. Me Nomsa Piliso, that Chris Maroleng, me Dlamini, the CFO, as well as the chairperson of the board. But I'm with the acting DG as well. And like you said, we are apologizing for the minister because of the bereavement. Chair, just with regard to SABC, and we note what you have said, which is will be work in progress in relation to the committee work, and will be there through and through as the department and entities on issues that you'll be doing oversight on. But just a quick one, Chair, on the issues around the SABC, which through the chairperson of the board and the acting CEO, they will then deal with the nitty-gritties around quarter two report. We have had an opportunity to interact with the SABC. Just to get an understanding and kind of support that we need to put in place, given the challenges that they went through and all other things. And I can safely say, Chair, from the engagement that we had, looking at stabilizing the institution by appointing the CEO and other positions of the executive, it's one of those priorities that we said must be taken care of by the board, so that as and when some of the things are dealt with, including issues of financial reporting and other things, then you have people who are confirmed who will be able to make sure that we move up to speed at that level. We have looked at the financial situation of the SABC and the current challenges that they are faced with, including the funding model that they want to propose, but also looked at the performance of the SABC from the previous financial year, the disclaimer, and how they are going to be able to deal with some of these things to address the challenges, because one of the things we also indicated was to say, having had the disclaimer, work on a program where you are able to then develop a plan that will assist you, so that by the time you go into the next audit, you then are improving from the situation where you were. So it's one of those things that we also emphasized. Of course, there are, in terms of the APP, targets that were put, and there are challenges on some of those targets which could not be met, which the CEO and the chairperson of the SABC will also talk to. And I think one of the things that we also emphasized as they deal with the financial model and other things that they want to do to turn around the situation is to also look at alternative revenue streams, which they propose to us, alternative revenue streams that will also assist the institution to be self-sustainable. But the emphasis was also more on dealing with the low-hanging fruits, being having capacity to collect from the TV licenses, improving on the issue of advertisement and something that they shared, that other things that we bring also do bring unintended consequences on them. And I hope they will also be able to share with you on some of those things. And then looking at partnering on some of the other programs that they want to do, so that while we are looking at assisting them financially and engaging treasury, which the minister made a commitment towards that, there should be an internal capacity that looks at some of these things to internally improve and make sure that they bring confidence to whoever want to play part and assist in this regard. Treasury being one of the first institutions that we look at to see how Treasury can be able to assist them to deal with their situation. So, but there are a number of challenges which they shared, including sports rights and other things. So as they present the quarter two, I expect the CEO just to give a high-level information on some of the things that they can mitigate on to deal with the situation. We note what you are saying, Chair, about the reports in the media on the two issues that you have just indicated. And let me hasten to say, we have not had an opportunity as the department to engage on those two matters. But probably the Chair can be able to indicate to the committee if they are ready to engage on those, or we can be able to be given time to come back to the committee and then present a comprehensive report based on some of those allegations and so on and so on. So, Chair, with your permission, allow me to give the chairperson of the board an opportunity, and through him, then be guided and maybe expect the CEO to make presentations on the other things. So, thanks, Chair.
Board Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, Acting DG, and members of the Portfolio Committee, greetings. I'm also with the member of the board, Michael Markovitz, sitting at the back, and Silva Tladi, who is responsible for TB licenses. Those are two members that were not introduced. So the presentation that we're going to take you through, maybe what is in front of you, there's a few slides that we've added just to expand on the TB license matter. So when you see on the screens, you'll have those additional slides. So the manner in which we're going to do the presentation, we'll start with the quarter two, and in presenting the quarter two, we'll also try to give you a feel of the latest or year-to-date numbers, so that you have something that gives you a sense of where we are and how we're tracking, so that we make it relevant. So the acting CEO and the acting CFO will co-present specifically on the report. Then after that, we'll then deal with all the other concerns and the allegations and the in the media. So that's how we'll handle the presentation. So I'll request the acting CEO to basically take you through the report as the first part. Thank you.
Thank you, Board Chairperson, and thank you, Chairperson of the Committee, and also good morning to all the members. As the Chairperson has indicated that presenting quarter two would be taking us up to September 2017, and we felt that as much as we have to come and account on that, we also need to be giving you a status update of where we are. Now, in terms of the overall progress of the SABC, we're not out of the woods yet. We are still in a financially constrained situation, and I think that it's important that we upfront say that we still have cash constraints because we haven't had a formal or a positive feedback on the government guarantee. But for the quarter two performance, our revenue was 1.8 billion, which at the time was 6% below budget. However, year to date, we are now tracking on 5.9 billion vis-a-vis a budget of 6.17 billion. Now, this reflects an underperformance of 4%, and this was in part due to the shrinking advertising environment, but also that we had been overly optimistic in putting together this budget. But on the expense side, which is more the side that we have control over, is really to say that we have managed not to spend about 308 billion under budget. But it's also important to note that these savings here will have long-term effects, because it's actually constraining us, or rather us being more prudent not to spend because we don't have the cash. So there are certain things that we are compromising as we are putting in the savings. So one of the issues that we've been dealing with throughout since March last year was the issue of the going concern, because AG had pointed out that we were not, we were potentially not going to be a going concern, and at the time we argued that we believed that we could turn things around. So if you look at our bank balance at the end of quarter two, we had 203 million in the bank, and as at the end of January, the balance reflected is 166 million. Now, at the end of January itself, you will see when we get to the cash flow statement that it was 515, but we had to pay some of their debts between the 1st and the 5th. Now, the performance that you see reflecting is a net loss as at the end of quarter two, it's really an accounting explanation, because in the absence of having cash, it's very difficult to say that you have a net profit of 102 million as at the end of January. The point of the matter is that this is a performance against budget and doesn't necessarily mean that we have cash. So the creditors in themselves, we still owe about 557 million in creditors, and these are about six creditors in essence. The bulk of the money that we owe is owed to our signal distributor, Centec. And in the period under review, we also had issues around the strike that we had. We had a wage dispute where the members demanded a 10% increase, but after a mediation with CCMA, we ended up settling on 4.8%, and as you would remember, that we had started on a 0% offer of salary increases, but we ended up conceding to a 4.8% salary increase, which would have paid for the 9 months. So starting from July, it wasn't for the full year. But I think that despite all of this, there were certain things that were positive, because I think it's important for us to note that what we are really, we have been doing in the past few months was to stem the bleeding and try and bring us back to recovery. So the appointment of the full board actually helped a lot as well in October 2017, because we are starting to see a full functional board, and the stability is starting to show in some of the activities that you are seeing at the SABC. We've also, despite our challenges, were able to successfully broadcast some of the key national events, like the ANC National Conference, which was held in December. And one of the key outs from that conference was that we got very positive feedback of the objectivity that the conference was delivered with, and people were quite, the public generally was quite pleased in the manner that we covered the conference itself. And on the performance side, we remained dominant with the top four programs in South Africa being the ones that belong to the SABC in terms of Uzalo, Generation, Scheme Summer, and Mubango. So we're still dominating, albeit not being financially stable. On the radio side, five of our stations are still in the top in terms of the audience share. So we still reach about approximately 35 million listeners a week. So we still are servicing South Africa in the way that is prescribed in our mandate. So in terms of the SABC, really the highlight on that slide was really the YouTube news channel, which reached a milestone of 100 million lifetime views. And it's also now one of the top South African online video news channels. So these are some of the things that we really need to be building on and leveraging on, because this is where we would like to see ourselves playing a more dominant role. There are also a lot of things that we covered on the sports side. in preparation for the FIFA World Cup, for instance, and also the Soweto Marathon in the period under review. We also saw XKFM celebrating its 17 years of existence, and also Good Hope with 52 years. Now, XKFM is one of the stations that we are looking at in terms of improving their reach, because they've also, as one of the marginal languages, have also complained to us in terms of the fact that we're not giving them enough support, and it's also one of the things that we are looking at. And then just back to the numbers themselves, I think the point of the slide is really to show that in comparison to the previous period, so if you look at our actual bottom line in 2016, the same time, we were already in the red with about 268, and or in terms of where we were at the end of September 27, it was only 4 million. So it shows once again the constraints that we have been operating under in terms of making sure that there's cost containment, and also that all the contracts that are not regular are actually dealt with. In terms of year-to-date, where we are now, same time, January 2017, we were already 863 in the red, and at the moment we are 102 in the positive. But we need to note that we are almost approaching year-end. There are certain year-end adjustments that are going to be effected, which will then have a negative impact on the numbers. So things like your post-retirement medical aid fund will come as a year-end adjustment. And then in terms of the cash flow, the point of the slide is really to show what the balance in the bank was. As I said, that at the 30th of September, it was 203 million, and at the end of January, it was 515 million, but we have had to process another 350 million in the first few days of February, leaving us with 166 million. Now, the ideal position for the SABC would be in the 550 and the 600 million per month. And that's what we are really targeting to go to. And then in terms of the ratios, in terms of the collection days, is that we are not the reason why our debtors' days are as low as they are is because we have got an early settlement discount for certain clients, because we are pressed to get cash early. So that's why you're seeing that it's 38 days vis-a-vis the 51 days in 2016. And then in terms of the creditors' payment, you would see that when you look at our APP, that our ideal number of days is 60, but we're sitting on 128, and it's because of the top six creditors that we are not able to pay. So when you calculate that out, it then gives you the 128 days, which is nowhere near where we would like to be, given that the recent announcement also was that we should be paying all our creditors within 30 days, but we simply are not in a position to do that. And I think for this part of the next presentation, I will hand over to the CFO to deal with the audit issues.
Thanks, Acting Chief CEO. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all Honorable Members. Just on the issues that were raised last year by the Auditor General, we had six significant issues that were qualification areas that were raised by the AG. So the first issue that we need to deal with was regarding the going concern. The GCO alluded to some of the efforts that we are taking with regards to resolving this issue. So here AG was raising an issue about the basis of our preparation of financial statements, where we were not fully disclosing, you know, the issues that we should disclose around the going concern. So what we undertook to do as a first step was to actually get into actions of raising funding, which the first step was to raise the to get the government guarantee for us to be able to approach the banks. So that has not yet materialized. So this issue still remains, but the way we want to actually address it is to detail our cash flow projections for the next 18 months. So for cash flows that we'll be reflecting and taking through to the AG is our cash flow starting from the 1st of April 2018, leading to end of September 2019, where we should be able to demonstrate to the AG that we'll still be afloat, you know, despite us not having, you know, the cash in the bank. So that's one of the steps that we are taking. And then the second thing that was raised from AG, two matters that dealt with our assets was the issue around the completeness of assets, the way we accounted as well for capital work in progress and the impairment. So on this issue, what we've done is we've actually started reconstructing the fixed assets register. So the effort around doing the verification and ensuring that the fixed assets register as it sits and tying to the financial statements, we're actually 95% complete with regards to Auckland Park. And then what happened is the efforts around us counting the regional offices commenced on the 18th of January, and it is now completed. So the work that is currently being undertaken is just to review and ensure that the fixed assets register is correct, because it is the basis of everything. So we are expecting that all these efforts will be finalized by the 31st of March. So with the AG, we have to actually table financials end of May. So there is still 2 months for us to do anything that may not materialize. Okay, and then the third issue that was raised is around irregular expenditure, where when we started in the fiscal ending 2016, we reported irregular expenditure of 4.1 billion. And of that, 2.1 billion was condoned last year in August. So AG is currently looking at and reviewing the condonement. And then what we're doing is in the next step, we are tabling the 400 million that is in the process of being condoned. So we expect that at the end of this fiscal, that this balance would have reduced to at least 2.4 billion. But we are taking every effort, you know, in reducing the amount. And what we're doing as well, we are adding new resources so that we can expedite the process as well. And then the third qualification area dealt with trade payables, which was regarding the completeness of our accounts receivable. So there were two issues that were raised. One was the fact that SABC was not doing reconciliations to supplier statements. So that process has been fully implemented at the end of January. So AG has been given the work, has been given the files to actually review as at the end of January, and the work is not yet complete from their side. So we are waiting for it. So this is one of the issues that we do and are certain that should move out of the qualification area. And then the deferred government grant is actually tied to the fixed assets work that I've alluded to in the previous slide. And then the last point was regarding the expenditure, the issue around our material errors that were in the financials that have not been resolved in the prior years. So what we've agreed is that we needed to have the complete list by the 31st of March, so that when we process all the adjustments, we only do it once. So the effort around the errors that have been picked up since the end of January and February have been recorded, and then we are just waiting for the 31st of March so that we can be sure that everything that has been picked up is recorded and corrected on the financial statements. And then I'll hand back to the Acting CFO.
Thank you, Acting CFO. I think on just to give you an update on the key matters, because we don't want to be going into too much detail, but I think it's important that we give you the status update. The issue about the corporate plan was submitted and it has been accepted by the minister, and it's signed off, similarly to the shareholder compact. My memory serves me well, it was actually tabled last week. On the issue of the government guarantee application, we sent the initial one in June and we sent the other one in November, and we still don't have a formal or official status of where that process is, but we are going to be taking it up with the new minister again. We've also had the issue of the challenge of the sports budget, which we are trying to discuss with our minister and also the Minister of Sports, because we simply at this point are in quite a difficult situation in terms of the sports budget, because we have a mandate to deliver, but the affordability is a challenge. I think you will see that when I start to discuss the risks that in the coming year, just for sport, we need 1 billion rand, including production. So it is something that is putting a lot of pressure on our resources as the SABC. And then in terms of filling off the executive positions, I think that we haven't been here since we've appointed a few. We appointed a chief audit executive in December, Tamisi Gode, who is coming from AG. We've also appointed the group executive for radio, Nada Wochela, who was one of ours in the Eastern Cape. We've also appointed the group executive for news, Patricia Makopeni. We also have the new COO, Mr. Maruleng. The process of the CFO is underway. The interviews are currently being held. Similarly, the CEO is also being processed. We hope that we will have a fully appointed CFO in the next 2 months, we think, and similarly to the CEO. We've also made an appointment of the group executive for HR. He starts on Thursday, I think, sure. He starts this Thursday. And that leaves us with about 3 other vacancies. We have got the group executive for technology retiring at the end of March. We also had the passing of the head of legal in November, which we haven't replaced. We also have a vacancy of group executive for corporate affairs. The group executive for technology has already been advertised, and the rest will be advertising this weekend. So we're hoping that we'll have a full complement of executives and a full board. And I think at this point, I just want to mention the pressure that my chairperson is under because we have 3 vacancies. I am aware that this portfolio committee is dealing with that, but it is a concern for my chairperson. Moving on the risks. I think what we're wanting to do is just to point out the risks that are keeping us awake at night. And the one remains the solvency issue, and that the failure for us to pay our national signals distributor, whilst we know that legally they can't switch us off, it is putting them in a precarious position because about 80% of their revenue comes from us. So whilst they have been understanding, it is not the ideal situation for us to be in. Secondly, in our request, in our funding request, we're very clear that the one thing that we need to do is to clear the creditors, but also to start injecting money into long-term production, because content only really works if you can plan it ahead and be able to sell it up front. Now, ideally, we would be commissioning new shows around this time, and we still don't have the additional funds, so we basically continuing with more of the same. So the issue about funding for us, it's less about the now, but about the inability to grow and turn the organization into what we believe it can be, because you need to seed the investment as it were. And also, we know that there are a lot of events of national importance that sometimes we're going to be found wanting because we simply cannot carry on like people that have resources. So we know that the elections are coming, and we know that there's an allocation from IEC, which is really meant mainly for education, voter education and all of that. But the actual production itself is going to be a challenge for us because we have to be everywhere and be seen to be everywhere at the time of the production. So the issue of the sports rights, we are making an appeal to our minister to actually get all the parties involved to see where we can get a relaxation of some sort in terms of the mandate that we have. Because as I said, that the 1 billion that we require for this fiscal must come from somewhere, and at the moment our resources are quite under pressure. And then on the issue of DTT, we recognize that we are probably the most at risk as the SABC in terms of DTT, because if we don't see a speedy move on DTT, it is our viewers that are going to be affected, which means we will have less eyeballs, which will then have a ripple effect in terms of the advertising. So to that extent, we had a meeting, a workshop in March with USASA, with Centec, with all the parties to try and understand that what can we do on our side to actually speed things up, because we believe that we have the most to lose as the SABC. So we do believe that we need to be playing a much more central role in this. We've said as much to the minister to say that we will collate all the outcomes of the workshop that we had to see how we can then be brought into the centerfold. Then there's an issue of the TV license that at the additional slides that we have included. And the reason why we felt that it was important to explain is that context is important, because the question was asked, how much is owed to the SABC, and a response was given, but we probably did not package it as we should have so that it does not create the headline that it created. But just for the record, in terms of how much we've collected, we've tried to give a picture of the past few years on what is actually collectible. You will see that we've always just hovered just over a billion, but a lot happened between 2016 and 2017 when certain decisions were made, and you can see how we reduced our collections there. A lot of those decisions have been reversed, and we're starting to claw back, and we're starting to work back to the 2015-2016 levels. And we just saw that it was important to explain how TV licenses is made up. Say we've got new licenses, as and when people come for the first time, and also the existing licenses that get renewed every September. I think most of you would be September. And we have 9 million active accounts on those. And then we have the overdue accounts, which are really serviced by the legal firms and the debt collectors. So in our database, we have a split of business, domestic, and also the government accounts. Now, some of these things have been outstanding for more than 10 years. Now, the TV license, similarly to tax, it doesn't really go away. So it just keeps accumulating in terms of the numbers that are sitting in the database. So the SABC has tried a lot of strategies in terms of the collection of licensees, but it is also important to say that the license fee is a grudge payment. I think you can see, even with the performance in the previous slide, that every time there's something negative about the SABC, you can have a direct correlation to the numbers, because immediately that's the only time people are able to exercise that I'm not going to pay the TV license. So we do have debt collectors that are working on the old debts, but I think it's important to also mention that in terms of the law, the penalty for arrears is 10% every month with a maximum of 100%. So you'll see that those numbers are very similar, because if you do not pay the 265, in a year's time your arrear is another 265, and that is how those numbers are accumulated. And that is just a split between business, dealers, and domestic. And also we did the split of what is between 1 and 3 years in terms of the 25 billion. I think I've already covered the fact that in terms of Section 27, that the way that the arrears are calculated is that it incurs a penalty of 10% every month with a maximum of 100%.
Sorry, just to say that we don't have the slides that you are going through.
Okay, apologies. These are the ones that we've added.
Apologies, members. That's what I indicated, that what you will see on the screen is the latest presentation, because what was submitted, we had not unpacked the licensing, the TV license part.
Okay. Proceed.
Apologies for that, Chairperson, but it is on the screen. And what we also just wanted to say, how the 4.5 billion that was written off, what the basis was, is that from time to time we do data cleansing to actually validate what is in the 4.5 billion that was written off was after the 2016-17 data cleansing, and it was really based on foreign passport numbers, invalid ID numbers, the deceased persons, and also the people that have emigrated, and the ones that there wasn't enough information to pursue. And from time to time, we do this data cleansing so that we can try and follow the right persons. I think we get a lot of complaints about people that are saying, why are you phoning me? And so it's a continuous effort for us to clean up the database here, TV license, and it's an ongoing process. So that's really how the 25 billion was arrived at. It's a combination of old licenses, but that are still in our databases owing. And I just thought that we will share with you some of the activities that are happening at the SABC. In the period under review, we conducted a culture and climate survey, because as part of our recovery plan, we recognized that there was a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that people went through at the SABC, and we thought it was important that we take a dipstick measure. So in response to the survey that was conducted in October, November, we had about 667 responses, I think, which then made it about 18% response. So in terms of research, we were told that that's sufficient to start to actually use as a base, because what we wanted to do was that at the beginning of the fiscal, we start fixing the right things from what the staff is telling us. We have already presented this to EXCO, and this is going to be used as part of our renewal process of the new SABC. It is going to be disseminated, the information is going to be disseminated back to staff at a divisional level, and there are certain interventions that we are going to be looking at. And then in terms of the wellness, the last time we were asked here, we were asked if we had done anything specific for certain staff members that had gone through different things. And I'm happy to announce that over and above our normal employee assisted program, there are certain interventions that we are going to be focusing on, particularly on the issue of counseling itself, and there's also the issue of substance abuse and also lifestyle-related matters in terms of work-life balance. We do have a specific therapist that is now going to be dedicated to assist the news team in particular. They will be starting to do that focus work now in April. And there's also a focus on commercial enterprises and also audience services. So those are the three areas that we are starting with. And Chair, in terms of the staff petition, I thought that I'll just mention that we are in the process of engaging the staff petition, because I think it's one of the things that was in the papers last week. We did receive a staff petition from the new staff making certain allegations about the things that they're not happy with. We are in the process of engaging, though we couldn't engage between today and yesterday because we were coming here, but we are going to be engaging them on Thursday to get to the bottom of what their issues are. We are concerned that some of the issues that they're raising seem to be a repeat of the past, so we want to nip it in the bud and deal with those as soon as we possibly can. And then I will move to the last section, which is really the performance against the predetermined objectives. At this point, we had targeted to be at a break-even, but we're showing a positive amount of 102 million. But as I said, this must be read in the context of just an accounting explanation, because we don't have the cash. So this is a positive performance against the budget. We still don't have the cash, and therefore it should be read in that in that context. And then in terms of the creditors payment, I've already mentioned to say that our target is 60, but we simply are not able to get to that, and therefore we have a negative performance of 128, and that's really due to the 557 million creditors that we owe. And also similarly to the debtors' days, is that because we have an early settlement discount that we're giving to certain clients, we are able to look at a minimal number, but it's because of the settlement arrangement that we have. And in terms of the ICASA local quarters, we are spot on. We actually did better than what is in our license, and we are very happy to announce that. And also in terms of the radio side, we've also achieved all our targets in terms of the news and also education and children, all the various genres. The issue of provincial programs, the performance of 18 programs vis-a-vis the two targeted programs is really part of it coming from the previous period, because it's only translating now. If you recall that last year, we had under-delivered on the local programs, and these are some of the things that are now coming through. So the overperformance is really a delayed performance from the previous year. And then in terms of the marginalized language, we have a huge problem in this area because one issue is the funding, but secondly, we don't have enough space to accommodate everybody, and not everybody is happy with the principle of equity because people want to be treated equally because the languages are equal. So we do have engagements at the moment. We're trying to process requests from the Indebele group who've also come to the SABC and given us some demands, and we're processing that via the minister. But what is important is that if these provincial and the language issues are to be addressed, it takes more than the SABC, and I think that it is important to address it in that way, to say that even if the SABC were to commission a lot of shows from the provinces, if there is no infrastructure, then it's a zero-sum game. So we need to get all the players involved so that we can actually succeed as an entity. In terms of the website, we have not done well on this because one of the suppliers that we had brought on board is currently being investigated by the SIU, so we've put a hold on that. It was one of the irregular contracts that we've had to stop. So it has stunted the growth in terms of what we had targeted initially. And then we are also happy to say that in terms of how the board is now structured, we now have got a digital technology subcommittee, which is going to bring the focus on from a strategic level on actually what our role should be in the digital space and what SABC can do in that space. In terms of the staffing issues again, we now have got. We've initiated an operating model exercise, and the operating model exercise is really to define what the SABC should be, what the SABC should be operating like. And I think it's important that I say at this forum that it is not an operating structure exercise, it's an operating model exercise that seeks to reposition the SABC, and naturally after that we will then look at the right skills fit and the right sizing of the organization, but it is just about putting the right model in place. Then there's an issue around the performance contracts for the period under review. All the executives and the top three did sign performance contracts, and with the corporate plan being tabled last week, we are now starting to contract for the next fiscal in terms of performance agreement. We are still struggling to roll it out to the lower levels, but in terms of the executives and the senior management, it is in place. On the issue of the training, we didn't do well because we didn't have a lot of money to put to training, so we only did absolutely critical training, so we didn't do well on this section here. And then in terms of the performance against the audits, the CFO has already spoken, but we've also had a renewed effort on internal audit particularly to make sure that those things move, because we've seen that a lot of it was stuck in the two years frame. So we've done a lot of work in pushing those, and we're seeing a little bit of progress. We still can't praise ourselves on the AG ones because it's still a work in progress, but on the internal audit ones, we've seen some improvement. And lastly, I think the one thing that we just wanted to talk about was the internal controls, to say that we are not a very risk-mature organization, and that's the one thing that we're trying to fix. So at the moment, there's a lot of effort into putting our risk management framework in place and entrenching it throughout the business and making sure that it becomes a pillar of our governance structure. I think at this point, we will take questions. Thank you. Do you want us to deal with the car issue afterwards, or do you want us to deal with it now? It's a question because you've already asked us. Okay. Okay, Chair. With respect to the vehicle in question, It was one of the issues that were raised already at the ad hoc committee inquiry to say that the SABC board had made a decision to buy a vehicle for Professor Makube, who was blind, and there was a need, or rather an identified need at the time, for him to have a dedicated driver. So the rationale was that instead of us using the services of different people to go and fetch him and different drivers, the motivation was that let him then be bought a vehicle and let him have a driver. The question was asked by Honorable Van Damme about the extras that were in the vehicle. I can't justify that or comment on that, Chair, but it is true that it was a Q5 and it did have extras. So what has happened is that the interim board... Chair, I need protection. The interim board had already made a lot of inquiries, and at this point we have approved the disposal of that vehicle as an asset, and we're in the process of selling it.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Before I hand over to members, Chairperson of the board.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought we should maybe address all the other issues in the, because the car is just one of them, but there's quite a number of other issues that we just want to deal with up front, if we can be allowed to do that. And also I'll be supported by my other colleagues on this. I just want to first start with the issue of the staff petition, there are issues there that the management executive team is dealing with, but there are those issues that are for the board to deal with. We do also want to get to a normal situation whenever there are challenges in an organization that people can follow internal structures to get issues resolved, as opposed maybe petitioning and putting things in the media that are house kind of things that can be addressed. So on the petition, there's three things. The first thing is around the vetting of journalists. That's what we want to explain from a board perspective. The SABC editor-in-chief issue, we want to clarify that also. Then from a petition, those are the things that we want to clarify from the board. Then also we'll touch on the legal fees. There was another headline on the 22 million legal fees that relate to the former COO. And then, of course, there are issues around the changes that we are effecting in the, within the SABC. The truth is we've been tasked to turn around the SABC, and part of the turnaround will be uncomfortable because we'll be doing things differently. And as you change things, other people may not necessarily feel comfortable. But let me start with the first issue of the vetting of vetting. What we've decided to do as a board is to seek a legal opinion to help us understand the background need of the vetting, so that we can also understand who needs to be vetted. We are clear on the fact that we are a national key point, but also we need to be clear who needs to be vetted, because if you look at the status of the SABC, does it mean that everybody who works there, from a person who makes tea to a person who cleans? So we are waiting for that legal opinion to guide us properly on what we need to do around the issue of vetting. So that's one of the issues that is raised in the petition. The second issue is around the editor-in-chief. When you read our editorial policy, it touches on the upward referral that the group CEO is the editor-in-chief for referral purposes. So on a day-to-day, operational matters are handled at the COO level. And that's what we want to clarify, because people may have misinterpreted the status of the editor-in-chief. Yes, the group CEO is the editor-in-chief, but the day-to-day operations are dealt with at an operational level. So the reporting line remains within the COO. So that's the issue that we wanted to clarify. On the issue of legal fees, the 22 million rand, I'm just going to request Michael Markovic just to explain where we are with it and what position we're taking as a board.
Thank you, Chairperson. Obviously, this predated this current board quite significantly. And I think a lot of the decisions that were made in terms of the legal fees were done in terms of approval by that board, and approval to cover certain of the fees relating to Mr. Motsoeneng's litigation through either the insurance or an approval that was given by the board. What this current board has done to make sure that those kinds of things can never happen again just through management applying for coverage is that any claim for legal insurance has to be approved by this board, and it cannot just be willy-nilly granted if it's alleged that that particular person may have committed an offence or not complied with the Act. I think the controls with the, not the interim board, the one prior to the interim board, were not necessarily the same as what we would like, and we've now put in place measures to ensure that that kind of claiming for what might be seen as extremely litigious behavior cannot happen again.
Thank you, Michael. On the issue of changes that maybe you may have seen over the weekend, a lot of it is misinformation, but I'm going to request the COO just to give high level, because at the end of the day, some of these things are operational matters and would want to leave them at that level, as opposed to coming and making a bit of a noise about things that are day-to-day operations. But Marulen, if you can take us through.
Let me start by thanking the board and other members of the SABC board for my appointment as COO. This is my first time appearing before this committee. I am both excited and indeed take note of the immense challenges that we face in trying to address some of the things that have been presented by us today. Let me begin by answering the question referring to the changes that have been noted here. I think it's important before I answer that we understand that these changes must be seen within the broader context of the changes that we're bringing about at the SABC, and this relates really to our mandate, which is essentially to ensure that we increase our audiences and indeed meet the commitment that we have made to maximize the quality of the content that we have on the SABC. I think if we are to contextualize some of these allegations, we also need to understand that these changes are also done as an attempt to grow the audience share in the SABC and really to retain or return our status to being a going concern. Let me start off by some of the changes that have been referred to in the media relating to radio and the repositioning that is happening there. And it's important to note that at this time of the year, just before we begin the new financial year, the various platforms that we run do from time to time engage in a process of relooking at their schedules and the talent that is there. So it is not unusual in any event that we would have embarked on a process or a process to try and reorient some of the programming that is on our platforms. In this regard, one of the platforms that has been mentioned in particular is SAFM. So, Chair, if you allow me, I'd like to deal with that in particular and contextualize it a little bit in relation to its performance in the past and really move away from the speculation on personalities that is characterize some of the falsehoods that the Chair referred to. SAFM as a platform in particular hit a particularly low point in about January 2017, where in terms of the RAMS measurement, which is the measurement that is used to look at audiences, had for a national platform 143,000 listeners. This for a national platform that has 127 transmitters is particularly low, particularly if you consider the cost of this transmission, which is calculated at just under 35 million rand. So you can see that the operating cost for this transmission for SAFM is particularly onerous to the SABC. It's particularly concerning when you consider the fact that certain of the talent pool that we were looking at also contributed to what we consider as these low audience figures. As I said, I don't want at this in this platform to talk about specific individuals in this regard. As a result of this, we engaged in a strategic review of the SAFM in the hope of turning around both its audiences and its talent in order to repurpose it. And the decision was made that we would change its format from being a simple news-driven radio platform to become what we describe as a talk radio platform with compelling news. And this would be still in line with our mandate, that is our compliance requirements in terms of ICASA, which we can talk to quite extensively in this regard. If I talk about the compliance mandate, the proposed offering will have a two hours of current affairs during the week, and there will be pockets of current affairs material delivered during this talk format periods. And in this regard, as we looked around for compelling audiences, we then decided as the operations component of the SABC to approach Mr. Stephen Grotes, who is currently serving notice with Talk Radio 702 to join SAFM as we engage in the new financial year in this revamped format and also to drive audiences. You would note that it is particularly important in radio to have a particularly compelling breakfast offering, which would ultimately lead to heightened adoption of audiences throughout the day. I would like to speak, if the chair would allow me, to some of the innuendo that we might have seen relating to the SAFM. And I'd read here in order not to misconstrue these statements. I think even though we do not want to emphasize race in our recruitment, it's imperative to indicate that there is only one person, one white person, that is, at this stage, who have recruited, and that is Mr. Stephen Grotes. This therefore negates the notion that there is somehow an influx of white talent into SAFM, as has been alleged in certain media. The SABC is a public broadcaster which embraces the diverse South African society. It is therefore wrong to insinuate that the SABC is, in this regard, only for black people. We have also noted the allegations that the SABC is creating what some termed as a likeness to one of our competitors. It's important to note that a lot of the talent that is coming to the SABC of various races is coming to the SABC of their own accord, given the perceived turnaround that is going on. I think in this regard, I don't want to over-elaborate on the other changes, but simply to say that these changes do not affect radio, but also affect television. We've seen the change of the scheduling and lineup also in the evening slot on our Channel 404 SABC News to bring in Mr. Bongani Bingwa. In the period under review, we've also seen Mr. JJ Tabane also being brought in to host a current affairs program. So therefore, Chair, you would realize that the changes that we talk about now really must be seen as part of the process to turn around the SABC and not led by any of the innuendo that may have preceded this presentation to Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We're done.
DM?
No, Chair, that is the presentation from our entity, and I think I know you have proposed that there'll be a follow-up activities from your side on certain things with regard to entities. The proposal that I will also want you to make, seated here, is that I know there's a process of digital migration, and in that digital migration process, The SABC also has its own responsibility, especially on content digitization. So it will be very important that as we interact with the committee, this item becomes part of the agenda so that the committee is taken on board on how we are progressing in making sure that this migration process takes place. Of course, there are overlapping roles from ICASA as a regulator, from the SABC for content, but also the Department of Telecoms and Postal Offices. So we are going to propose that we have an interministerial committee that prioritize this thing because other areas are overlapping. And a firm proposal I want to make to you, Chair, is that as a portfolio committee, maybe find a way of engaging with the DTPS portfolio committee and see whether, as you play oversight as committees, are we moving up to speed and meeting the deadlines that have been put? For now, as we were briefed, we are looking at June 2019 as the new target date. So I would want you not to make this thing part of the program of the committee so that we are able to deal with some of these things. Of course, Chair, we have had an engagement with the SABC, and one of the reasons why we went to them as one of the priority entities was that let's hear the things that are pertinent and let's see how we can be able to move swiftly. So it will be important for them to always, as they engage with the shareholder, share with the shareholder on some of the things, even if they are internal and operational, so that all of us are on board and that we are able to confidently speak together on some of these things. Of course, we are still new, and we'll agree on how we operate going forward. The last issue is what the group CEO has also emphasized, the issue of stabilizing the board. It's a matter that you are responsible for. And from our side, staffing of executive and lower levels so that at least the institution can be able to run accordingly, so that if there's all those assistances that we want to tap from, we're able to confidently say to whether treasurer or whoever, we have an entity that has capacity to deliver on its mandate. I think those were the comments, Chair, I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thanks, thanks, DM. Members, Honorable Van Dam, Van Dijk, Machoba, Sedi, and Kalaku.
Thanks, Chair. I've got quite a few questions, but let me start with something positive. I think it's great to see the SABC headhunting talents from across media houses. I think you had big audience declines due to reasons in the past, so I think that is a great thing. I do not think you should be intimidated by reactionary comments saying that, you know, basically insinuating that the SABC shouldn't hire white people. The SABC is there to represent the whole of South Africa, South Africans across racial, cultural groups. So you must make sure that when you headhunt across the board. I think the SABC has a very important role in nation building in South Africa. So I congratulate you for attracting talent and continue to do so. Grow the SABC's audience numbers and draw back advertising, which I see has gone down. Now, about the SABC's finances. Now, I know that we cannot blame the current board for what you've inherited. That's what you've inherited. But what we can hold you accountable for is what happens going forward. My question at every meeting is, what is the plan? What is the new funding model? What are you looking at that's new, that's innovative, that is different to fund the SABC? We know that last year you'd asked for $3 billion from National Treasury. What's up with that? What's the feedback that you've had from National Treasury? Has there been constant communication with National Treasury? What is National Treasury saying? Are you getting the $3 billion, or are they saying, which I hope is what they're saying, make a plan, find innovative ways to be self-sustainable? On the issue of the collection of license fees, $25 billion is a massive amount. It's not loose change. It's not malia matais. It's a big amount. So we know that before, the contract was with Lona Vision. The Lona Vision contract was cancelled. That contract didn't deliver on what it was supposed to be delivering. That contract was cancelled at the beginning of last year, July, yes. So since then, what mechanism is in place to collect license fees? How are you collecting license fees? And also, again, to speak about license fees, what are you considering perhaps to move away from the license fee model? Because quite clearly, South Africans are not interested in paying license fees. So what is your new funding model? This is what I ask every single meeting. We appointed this board and said, be creative. Put together a team. Find people from across the spectrum. Find experts. Find contributions from outside the industry. Put a team together and find innovative ways to self-sustain, to stand on your own two feet like other broadcasters can. My other question is the MAO, that petition. So I'm going to be quite specific about some of those allegations that are mentioned in that petition, and I'd request that I be given direct answers to those questions. I know you're dealing with it, but there's some serious allegations which I think require answers in this meeting. Number one, there's an allegation that Sophie Mgwena gave an instruction to staff not to ask Mr. Ace Magashule questions about the recall of Jacob Zuma. Is that correct? Did you investigate that whether or not that instruction was given to journalists? Number two, there was allegations of political interference in the newsroom. A complaint was submitted to the board. What was the complaint? What was the content of that complaint relating to political interference? What have you done about allegations of political interference again in the newsroom? That seems like we're sliding back. So what is being done about that? And then the shocking to me, this is flabbergasting, that Teresa Heldenhuys has been promoted. Teresa Heldenhuys, who was here in Parliament in the ad hoc committee of the SABC inquiry, who was found to have lied to Parliament, she's been promoted. How so? I don't understand that. Is it true that she's been promoted? How can she have been promoted? And then this is also a question. I'm glad to see that there's some sort of action being taken to deal with staff that were terrorized in the past regime, if I can call it that, in the past regime of terror. So I'm glad to see some action being taken about that, but I don't believe it's enough. I know that one of the members of the SABC 8 was chased down the streets by a person who has a contract with the SABC. What are you doing to make sure that staff don't continue to be terrorized? I'm sure you're also aware about this matter, so please let me know what you're doing about that. And then editorial policy, there's been a delay of that again. So why has there been a delay on the completion of the editorial policy? Where is that? And then the matter of Fraudly Motsuneng's legal fees. Now, I understand that it's subject to an investigation by the SIU, But in terms of your MOI, the 2013 MOI, you are legally bound to recover those fees. The MOI says that the SABC can cover the legal costs of a director or staff member if it relates to a bona fide legal action. Now, we know that all of Claudia's legal actions were not bona fide. They were all mala fide. So in terms of your MOI, you are bound by it to make sure that you recover that 22 million. And I believe that you absolutely must take the steps to recover that that 22 million. And then you've given updates on the appointment of the CFO and the CEO. Updates on the appointment of the head of news. That's it for now, Chair. Thank you. Just a few questions.
No, very, very, very important question. My understanding was that Geldenhuys was retiring at some stage, and therefore he was kept just to transfer skills or experience to a particular person. Now, if it's true, then please tell us. The other thing, Chairperson of the Board, collection of TV license fees. There is an agency that you employed services of. And the amount that you give us, if it can be broken down, the amount reflected here, is it what, after paying the service provider, it's what you get? Just those details, because they are very important. They will tell us if are we getting somewhere in terms of collection of TV license fees. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chair, my questions. It's indicated that the consultation fees for the second quarter is 31 million over budget by 31 million, and it is over budget by 14 million. That's 79%. I want you to please explain what was the nature of the consultant services required, the duration of the contracts, and if it was extended. Then it was also mentioned that the YouTube channel generates 140,000 views a day. I want to know how much money does the SABC generate from this, if any. And then I want to know, you indicated that the SABC websites are not attracting audiences because they're outdated and there was a decline of 18%. I want to know the person that is operating the YouTube channel. I'm not very clued up, but I just want to know if this person or the entity body that runs the YouTube channel, is that the same company or is it a different company, or why don't you link the YouTube channel then with the website with the channel? I'm not sure if it can be done, but that should raise the audiences for the website. Also, like the Chair said, I would also like to know the 312 million that is generated revenue for TV licenses, is that how much is the SABC spending on collecting this revenue? I also want to mention, I got a complaint from someone that lives abroad for 5 years now, and they want to, what is the process for a person that lives abroad, that wants to, that already indicated that he's not living here, who still has legal battles with the SABC and cannot get rid of the SABC collecting TV licenses, because it's really embarrassing for our country, actually, if they don't have guidelines, or what do people do? Because I don't think it's user-friendly, the legal services in tackling that type of problem. So I would like to, I've got the reference number and everything, I would like to get a clarity on that. I want you to explain to me ICASA's local content quotas, because I think a lot of people might be interested in precisely what is does it mean. It is said that there's an underspend, or the underspend is the reason for the delay in contracting new properties, and besides the productions postponed, that leads to repeats. And I want to know, how does this impact on the local content quotas? That's, and then my second last question, I want to know how much was saved as a result of cancelling the New Age Breakfast show, the New Age Breakfast. And then I also want to know, at this stage, what type of training is considered or has already been done with regards to the DTT digital migration? I'm curious to know, because the first deadline that was supposed to be 2017, June 2015, and the Deputy Minister just said it's going to be 2019 now. Now, I just want to know, it's now how many years later, has any training been done thus far? Because it's actually it's a huge concern when it actually then happens, with all the availability of spectrum and the content that will be needed. So with regard to that, has any training been done? And what type of training do you consider from your side? Has you, is there any plans in place for that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the introduction from the Deputy Minister, and thank you for the powerful presentation from you, Nomsa Piliso. Chair, I welcome the report. The report is very clear. The only thing I will just touch on is the issue of the salaries that was demanded by the staff last day in 2017. They were demanding the 10%, but you agreed with 4.8% with the assistance of the CCMA. I'm correct. Yes, I'm just trying to check whether you agreed in that amount, because we don't want the same situation. We are facing the election by next year to have these interruptions, because really the strike was directed to the national, for national conference of the ANC, but unfortunately you rescued the ruling party. Secondly, that successful broadcasting for that 54th national conference was the interest, even from for the opposition parties. Well done for that, because the ruling party is always in a limelight to achieve better, even to those to those industries. But I don't have much more than to know about that agreement of that 4.8%. Because I want you guys to clear this thing so that we cannot face it again. Thank you, Chair. If I miss something, I will come back.
Sadi?
Thanks, Chairperson, and also to welcome the presentation from the SABC Chair. I want to go back to the license fees issue that was raised by one of the colleagues, but I'm approaching it from a different angle, Chair, just to appreciate the efforts that you are continuing to make with regard to this particular aspect. I think we have raised it in quite a number of occasions, but I appreciate the fact that we have managed to increase the collection by 16.5% from what we've. I think we must commend you for that. The second issue, Chair, it's the issue of the 5% under expenditure, as in the second quarter. The report says 1.8% has been spent, which represent 5%. I'm raising this issue because more often we entities come and appear before the committee and complain about lack of finance. But when you are given money, you don't spend the whole of it. That should be a concern for us as parliamentarians. So I'll appreciate if you can as well talk to that particular aspect, because it can't be right that people complain about money not being there, parliament not being giving people the necessary support, and money end up not being utilized. The second one, Chair, is with relates to the professional and consulting fees. I'm worried about the 31 million that has been reported. And we'll as well appreciate if you can as well try and appreciate the nature of these professional and consulting services. The report says 79% of the budget with regard to professional consulting fees has been spent as such. That should be a worrying factor. Because we keep on asking ourselves questions from time to time, that if we reach an extent of going to almost 80% utilizing professional and consulting fees, why can't we have permanent people with skills to do some of these things rather than utilizing the services of external people? So I would appreciate if you can just talk to that particular aspect. I think we have as well raised this particular issue in some of our engagements, where a lot of money goes to consultants instead of us getting skilled people, appointing them on a full-time basis to do some of these things. The shareholder complex, will appreciate maybe if Deputy Minister can just clarify if the compacts have been signed with regard to this ABC. Where are we with regard to this particular issue? I know last time when you came, the compact has not yet been signed with SABC. So we'll appreciate if you can just talk to that particular aspect. 4.4 billion irregular expenditure is also a concern. 4.4 billion irregular expenditure. And the report says some of the aspects that led to this particular situation is the issue of payment without contracts. 18.5 million is also a concern. This is one of the issues that led us to the situation, Chairperson, where we had a board being dissolved. These are some of the issues that led us to the situation. Payment without contracts. So I'll appreciate if you can as well talk to that particular aspect. The report says 18.5 million has been incurred in that particular aspect. And the last one being the issue of procurement policy. not being followed. And we will as well as appreciate if you can also share with the committee what measures have been taken to people who contributed to this situation. The last one, Chair, is the issue of the listenership of the radio stations. We appreciate on page 8, I think you tried to outline the in terms of where we are with regard to the 5 radio stations. But for us to be able to check performance against targets, it's important for us to know what was the target per station in terms of increasing the listenership. I appreciate the slide that talks to the 5 stations, but I think we'll as well know, appreciate to know what has been the target with regard to the rest of the stations of the SABC. The 251 million that you owe Centec, you have raised quite a number of challenges with regard to this particular issue. But I don't see you coming up with a report that says this is how we intend dealing with this particular aspect. So we'll appreciate as well if you can just talk to that issue, Chair. I think for now, let me pause.
Okay. Thank
you, Chair. Just on few soft issues, Chair, because I want us to finally conclude any matter related to ad hoc committee inquiry. And I know the board, even before you, the interim board, have been actually presenting to us the progress in dealing with those matters which were raised during the inquiry. I know other issues raised, they belong to us in Parliament. But what I will be interested in, if I remember well, you did in our last meeting with the present board, give us an update on how you have dealt with all these irregular contracts. My interest is just if you can just briefly mention to me those which you have already solved. And then on the Deputy Minister, I'm sure will help us. Because of these many changes in the portfolio, we have also been left hanging when it comes to the issue of the guarantee DM. I think we'll have to interface with you as a committee, you and the minister, even without the department, or just you and the department. On that issue, I think it's more urgent now in view of the presentation here. And I know the board, even the interim board, they have been seized with this issue right from the beginning. So I think we cannot be in a state where we don't know exactly where we stand on this issue between the department and the treasurer. I think it needs to be immediately dealt with. Because you know what worries me is what acting group CEO, you have, in your presentation on the readiness for elections and the risk. Because it might happen whilst we want you to cover elections, there's no money. And that can't be blamed on you. It must be blamed squarely. That's why I'm raising this as very much urgent. You'll put programs there of education around voter education, but the bulk of the work you have to spend money on production, as you have mentioned. So please assist us, between us and the board and the ministry and the department, so that we push this. But the other, because you know the Centec issue is coming a long way, and you are not only the culprits. I know in another committee I'm serving is in the TTI. They raise a similar problem. I don't know this disease of government departments not to want to spend to each, but yours is different. I think you are taking for Usentech because it's your half-brother there. So I think we are exploiting them because you are not paying them at all, and they are your colleague. Yeah, you are, but that money you owe them, it's a lot. I think, and also, that is why it's going to be important in an interface with the postals and telecoms also, yeah, around the issue. Ministers now, this will, so that we are able to help SABC on that to make sure. And then you, in your presentation around collection of fees, you are mentioning that do you need a legislation around that? Do you need Parliament to legislate around that? So that if Pumzile doesn't pay a license, she knows what is the maximum and minimum penalty on that. So I'm asking this piece because this has been coming, but if you need that, also it must be something which must be a priority in our program here, so that we assist you around that. The department, I'm sure, will be able to take that down. You have just said to us, presented here on the, We were worried, Mhlekazi. No, once SABC going back to its old cancer, we were very worried about what is happening on the press. But we're very happy as you are addressing what you are doing there. But can we, chair of the board, begin really to work towards a situation where SABC is not on the news for wrong things? Because that's what kills the image. And I know it's going to, within SABC board staff now. After all what happened, staff feels that at least they are listened to, they can go outside. But there's no organization. If you are not tight on your, I don't say be autocratic, be oppressive. If you are senior management, sorry for me, I'm a military man. A command is a command. Especially the rules are there. The legislation is there. Use legislation, use regulations which are there in when it comes to conduct of staff. It's not a good thing that everybody feel willy-nilly just goes out. They do write to us. Yeah, even here I have an SMS from staff that look in Parliament, they know you are here today. They just send you a WhatsApp or whatever. Why are you not dealing with what is happening to us? All of a sudden we are told that, no, our contracts are ending. So they are referring to what you were explaining to us. Our contracts are just ending in 2 months' time, but we are just told that, no, look, there's no guarantee that will be. But if you deal, I know, as a leadership, you deal with the matters as humanly as possible, but don't compromise with the rules and acts and code of conduct, because that is when the organization begins to collapse, without any favor to anyone. I think that's what you must be seized with. But, Chair, I think the other thing I want to, you know, because... sometimes, not in Vegas, sometimes, every time, I will want first, because this issue of Bamawe and allegations they are raising here around political interference in newsroom, I think if you can just assure us that that is not happening, I wouldn't want to go back to that. Because, see, the problem with that, you accuse us as parties. And as we've discovered that now, it's not even us as parties. There's some elements who go there in the, who have friends in the newsroom. They start creating problems there. Then it ends up with you and us as parliamentarians. Please deal with that problem. And I know mostly people, they think it's ANC is interfering with the... but these days, it's not ANC. I can show you things which have been written to actually by other parties to those people in your boardroom, in your newsroom, wanting them to do certain things. So please deal with that. But lastly, Chair, I think this thing, if I don't raise it here, which disappoints me a lot, when it have come to my desk, and even a day before yesterday and yesterday, this problem of one presented this thing of this company and the other company around security, Mafoko Patrols and what the other one, Mchayeli. If what is written here about the involvement of some of your board members, Chair, I'm telling you, we're going to go back to square one. All the allegations which are here, which are against board members, their involvement. And I don't think an individual can write such damning allegations and knowing very well that the person, the individual, is lying. Because this one, if I was these people who are mentioned here, because this is written down. It's written down. Here's the letters. It's written down. If they know that is not true, because this is tantamount to, you know, discrediting a person or damaging the reputation of a... Please, I will want the Chair, the board, to come to us. This is involved. Give a report to the ministry and we'll get this model. Ministry. DM, we want to get to the bottom of this problem. Again, it's around tenders, contracts, monies. This is the issue which we should be seized with it immediately. Because once we ignore it, Chair, we say, no, it's writing. And then, in fact, they will need an explanation from the board and the ministry to come back to you and explain the validity. And the, because we are going to call, I propose we'll call these people who are written here, Chair, who have written here, and talk to us about this. There's no way that we can live. Not at a time when we were coming out of SABC with all these problems and involvement of senior people, right from CEO, COO, and even board members, previous board, in contracts and awarding of contracts. We can't allow and now and pretend when this is surfacing. It's very disappointing to say the fact. I'm really, if this is true, I'm really disappointed of the individuals which are mentioned here, which you have worked with throughout. But Chair, we must get to the bottom of this. We're not concluding anything, it's allegations. Let's meet, because once they are whistleblowers, it's our duty as parliamentarians to call them and get to the bottom of the issue, so that we are not accused of ignoring what the public have seen. We can't allow SABC to go back to that nonsense. So, Chair, I wanted to raise this so that it's recorded, we deal with it immediately.
Yeah, agreed. We'll have to do that. We'll have to meet those people. But before the response, we have another entity. Before the response,
if you want the company or the organization to operate smoothly, ensure that there is a go-between between you and the workers, a representative of the workers, nothing else but the union. Because if there are problems with anything relating to workers, unions will raise with management. And so that is happening. I'm not sure. There is PIMAU, there is MWASA, there is everything. So that you can have an engagement with the union, it stabilizes the work environment. That's one thing. I think that must be done as soon as possible between SABC and the unions. To agree with the Honorable Kalako, if there is anybody politically interfering with what is happening, because there is no mandate like that from any political organization, that this must be said, this must not be said. I think it's your responsibility, Board Chair, with your executive, to raise it sharply with that particular organization, whether it's the ruling party, whether it's the opposition, because the reason why things have gone to where we were last year or from 2016 is precisely because of those issues. And as the committee will not accept anything like that anymore. We have come a long way with SABC. Let SABC be the national broadcaster, no political interference. I think this is what the committee is saying. Report that so that we can, the organization, the political organizations can deal with those particular individuals. I'll hand over to you because we have up to we have ICASA, and we're starting at 2 in the house. The latest we can go is 1:30. So with SABC we'll go to 12:15. And then after that, we can take ICASA, Fandam and Machoba.
Chair, bearing in fact that we still have to deal with ICASA, I'm sure you're not going to allow a second round. So I forgot just 2 questions, if I can ask with your indulgence quickly.
That is the second round.
I'm still asking you my first round, Chair. Okay, so the issue of vetting of journalists. I am entirely uncomfortable with it. It harks back to apartheid, where, you know, journalists were put under the thumb of not only the SABC but the government. It harks back to the past era of the SABC, where the SIU was bugging offices, where emails were read, where phones were tapped. So I am entirely uncomfortable with the vetting of journalists. So if you're speaking about vetting of journalists, can you explain what that means? And then there was one question that I asked about advertising relating to the ANC Congress. And the reply was that there was no revenue generated from that. But I seem to recall specifically seeing adverts of various candidates of the ANC Congress on TV. So were those spaces given for free? Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I think the point I missed is in page 7. There's these programs of Uzalo and Generation. What is the duration in terms of the contract? in these programs. I'm just asking this chair for the benefit of the nation so that they can know. Thanks.
All right, Deputy Minister, and your team.
No, no, Chair, I think... Oh,
sorry, there is tea and coffee outside. Can go grab and come back.
Chair, I think on the day-to-day running of the SABC, including the many questions that members have asked, I will ask the chairperson of the board and the group CEO just to deal with some of those things. But safe to say, Chair, on the issue of the guarantee by National Treasury, this is one of the commitments that the minister did in our first engagement with the SABC to say we will work as the department very closely with the SABC and secure a meeting with the Minister of Finance so that we are able to present the situation of the SABC, mindful of the challenges and the unintended consequences that if this intervention is not done, there may be challenges going forward, including the issue of elections and all other things. So we are hands-on in terms of that. There was supposed to be a meeting by this week. Minister was going to, but this disruption of the family challenges, something unforeseen, took the process a bit back. So it's something that the minister will deal with immediately. The shareholders' compact, Chair, it has been signed. All we'll need to do is to make sure that all what has been agreed upon is followed through, make sure that all the things are followed and so on and so on. So I'm just saying those are some of the things that will be hands-on as the shareholder on some of the things. But the call we're making, it's exactly what the committee is making. If there's an outcry, if there's a challenge in within the entity, let's move swiftly in addressing some of these things, whether it's lower staff, whether it's whatever, including what the whip of the committee has picked up, Mr. Kalaku. We picked up that thing yesterday of the security services. We are very interested in making sure that the board moves swiftly in dealing with this thing and demystify it if it's an unfounded allegation. But acting and acting swiftly is what we'll expect the board, ourselves, if there's any support we must give, but also the executive to deal with some of those things. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will try to answer the few questions and then ask my colleagues to also assist. The first question I just want to basically address is the issue of the security tender. We are aware of the allegations, and we've taken action to get them thoroughly investigated. SIU is assisting us in investigating those allegations. So, but the matter is being attended to, and we'll brief you with further details on the matter, but we are aware of it. The second thing I want to address is the issue of the funding model. There's been a number of times where people have asked and requested that we relook at the funding model. Our funding model has got three legs to it. There's a commercial element, where you include advertising, sponsorship, and everything else that the SABC is doing that is commercial. We feel that is necessary, and actually it's the bulk of our revenue. And we're not anticipating changing it, but we want to make sure that that gets more focus, and we find other revenue streams that are commercial in nature. That's why when you hear the team presenting, there's issues of things that we are exploring around content licensing and a number of other things that we are doing to just strengthen that element. The second element talks to TV licenses. We get about R1 billion from TV licenses, and we're not about to do away with that. We just need to find innovative ways, which we continue to do. You would have seen in the report that actually we've improved our collections, like some members of the portfolio committee have noted. So it's R1 billion that makes a huge difference in our revenue. And that stream, we're not about to do away with it. The third one talks to government grant. That's the area where we've been appealing to government to also increase the funding that we get for the public mandate. If you think about it, the public mandate costs SABC over R4 billion. And we're getting roughly 100 and something million, if I'm not mistaken. So to be exact, we're getting about R180 million for a mandate that sits at R4 billion. So that is an area where we're really appealing to government to assist us with that. But basically, I'm explaining the funding model. That the funding model, the way it is, it's correct. And we're not about to change it. What we need to come up with more ideas and more things to do. And this is the area where part of the work we need to do, we need to get our house in order. Before you can get funding from external, you've got to be a fit-for-purpose organization. That's why the management spoke about an operational model. An operational model talks about the fit-for-purpose organization that we need to have. We need to make sure that we've got the right people doing the right jobs, focusing on the right things. And that's why now and again you're going to hear a lot of noise. When we make changes, people get comfortable with what they're used to. And as we change and we tighten things and we request for more accountability, people will start complaining. We want people to earn their salaries. As they go to SAPC every day, we want to know what they're doing, what value they're adding. And it starts with that. Because once we've got also all vacant positions filled, the confidence level and the accountability and the efficiency of the organization will improve. So we've got to get our house in order first, and then, of course, continue engaging with the minister and government around government guarantees that we are doing. Unfortunately, some of the things that we are exploring, like partnerships, we've spoken about partnerships that we are doing with a number of interested parties who are willing, for example, to sort of use or leverage our content in other platforms. These things tend to be commercial in nature. Once I start giving you names of people we are discussing with, before we can implement it, someone will go implement it because we are in a competitive space. And it's not because we're hiding things, but we also need you to understand that there are people who are competing with the SAPC. And because of the nature and how we operate as the SAPC, it takes a bit of time for us to get all the approvals to do certain things. So we rather not sort of start naming the potential partnership we're working on. But I can guarantee you, the noise that you're hearing, part of it is because there is action. There's stuff being done at the SAPC. And of course, there are things that in a structure, from a structural perspective, that needs to be attended to. We've spoken about sports rights. It costs us about R1.2 billion, the money that we don't have. So at the end of the day, we are tackling those things so that we can make sure that we don't end up feeding the beast or basically throwing good money to bad use. So we've got to get those things right. So those are the things that I wanted to sort of touch on. That other question that we asked that I had addressed when I started. The vetting thing, we said we're seeking a legal opinion on it to understand exactly what's right, what can be, because we also don't want to be non-compliant. But at the same time, we don't want to infringe on constitutional rights of our journalists. I did address that. On the SABC, on the legal fees, I've also addressed it in the beginning. We said we need to basically get to the bottom of the R22 billion, understand what was approved by the board, and understand what is recoverable. Because sometimes going and saying we're going to recover the R22 billion, having not done the analysis, it might create an impression, you know, that we think we just can get the money without necessarily doing that analysis. And as the board, we don't want to be emotional about things, but we want to make sure that we do thorough investigations so that whatever we commit, we can deliver on. May I request the executive to track other issues? There's a number of issues, if they can just prioritize the one that are critical. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I will try and leave the TV licenses issues to Sylvia Tladi, who's the head of TV license, because I think that there's quite a number of issues that were raised around the TV licenses. And then on the issue of Honorable Sandam wanting to know exactly what the status is with our funding request, I think the Deputy Minister started to allude to that to say that they're starting to have discussions. We don't have a formal response on the two submissions that we have made. And we also acknowledge that SABC can be funded by by hold-handing us all the time, and we are aware, as Chair has already said, we are looking at other options. However, there is this iceberg that we hit in March that we need to get over, which is what our overdue creditors are. And then, okay, I'll let her deal with the TV license issue. On the issue of the petition, you asked specifically about Sophie Mokoena and the political interference and the allegation thereof. I would like to assure this committee that the reason why we are taking this as seriously as we are, we actually want to get to the bottom of it because we don't want it to be treated as though it's an old allegation. So what we've done is that the people that have sent the petition, we've asked them to actually have a representation. So there's about five of them that will meet with us, and I'm hoping that they will be open enough about the specific incidents that they talk about. There's an incident that happened, I think, with the January 8th. There's also an incident that happened with the conference itself. And we would like to get to the specifics so that we get to the bottom of it, because we, as I said to somebody, that we can't let this one grow feet and babies, because it's quite critical that we don't slide back. So on Thursday, we will have that meeting, and I will, through the chair, just give an update so that you don't have to wait for 3 months for you guys to hear where we are with that. On the issue of Teresa Haldanais, once again, the petition makes reference to her having been promoted. She is holding the exact same position that she was holding when she was at the ad hoc committee, because what had happened at the time, and it's one of the appointments that are being investigated, because what had happened at the time is that it is true that she was of retirement age, but there was also an offer that was made to her to stay, and it's one of the things that are being investigated. And I would rather leave it at that so that we can allow the investigation to go. On the issue of one of our staff, of our journalists that was chased, we have gone quite a distance. What the board has decided to do was actually to have a separate investigation around it. So the investigation is being led by Ms. Kweyama and Ndate Tsedu, who are engaging with Tandega. But we're also having a correspondence with the company of the driver, because we were able to establish where the driver was from, and so we are busy investigating that, but there is a commission. What we've also done was to try and take management out of it so that it can remain as independent as possible, and we've also gotten an outside legal firm that is sitting in to actually get to the bottom of the interviews and to do the all-round investigation so that she also feels comfortable that it's not... because I think at the moment there's just a lot of doubts in everybody's mind about what is going on. So we're trying to get to the bottom of that. On the issue of the YouTube channel, there isn't a lot of money that comes from YouTube, because it's their platform. But on the issue of the website, whether we can use the same person, no. We can't use the same person. The company that, as I said, that was irregularly brought on board, we've stopped dealing with them. But because we now have got a digital subcommittee, we are looking at a new comprehensive approach to how we are going to reposition SABC digitally. And that will include your websites, your apps, everything else, instead of doing it in the manner that it was done, which hasn't quite given us a comprehensive result in terms of what we're wanting. Because I think that for as long as we take a silo approach, we want to end up with things that are now out of sync with whatever. So we need to have a holistic approach, and that's the advantage that is being brought on by the establishment of the thing. And then in terms of the local content quotas, we work according to what our license percentages is. So what we do on a quarterly basis, we then calculate the hours, we calculate the minutes to see that are we compliant, and that's really what goes into that. But what happens is the reason why we're talking about repeat strategies not being ideal is that there are certain repeat slots that do well, but generally advertisers are attracted to new content. Because that's what... So in the absence of you being able to commission quickly enough to get the new content, you are forced to go into repeats. You still have viewership, but it's probably not the viewership that you would have liked to. So that's what we mean about the impact. So when we then count, we still count the same... we still do the same calculation, because what ICASA is asking of us, did you have so much drama? So even if it's you're still able to count the same. And then the issue of, okay, so all the collection, the TV licenses are... Okay, yes, I'm coming to your DTT question. Around training, I think for the past 10 years there's been attempts at various points to do different interventions. What SABC's involvement in the DTT space really is, it's about content offering, because without the content you don't get the eyeballs and all of that. So the training that the SABC would need to get into for DTT readiness is that we need to start operating as a non-linear organization, as opposed to just producing, for instance, content for television. We need to be producing content for various platforms, and that's what really we believe is going to be an impactful intervention in the DTT space, because as and when we acquire content, we will then make sure that it will sit in this manner in the mobile, it will sit in this manner in other platforms. From a technology point of view, the training that is happening is really very much supplier focused, because whatever infrastructure that we acquire, that's where the training is going to come. But rest assured that the SABC is acquiring infrastructure with the digital landscape in mind. So we're no longer acquiring. So as a result, in some instances, we're operating a hybrid model, where some of our infrastructure is already HD ready, but actually some of it we can transmit in HD. So for instance, even when we get a feed, we still have to down convert it to standard definition so that it can actually go out. That's why you hear other people saying, the other people in Randburg, their picture looks better, even though sometimes it's us that have produced it, because when it comes to us, we have to down convert. And then the issue of the update on the irregular contracts, I thought that the SIU was here to give an update, but we do have those contracts being handled by SIU. I think when they were here, they gave a very high level, and the other issue with the SIU, they don't report to us, really, but they report to you and the president. So there is some progress that is being made around actions that must be taken on individuals. So those ones we are processing. There are a lot of disciplinary cases that are coming to the fore in the next few weeks. I think we are starting to issue the charges related to those transgressions. But in terms of the contracts themselves, what it is that is potentially that can be recovered, or those things, is SIU that is... And then in terms of the link with the management and the board, we agree, Chair, that ideally the structure that we have at the moment, which is the unions and the representatives. But sometimes, yes, we do find ourselves with our petition that was sent to me. As it was sent to me, it was already on social media. So, you know, you're finding yourself trying to manage those dynamics. And quite honestly, if somebody... If something is on Twitter, you know, the question is, where do you start to investigate the source? But we do encourage our staff from time to time to say, work through the internal processes, because actually our code of conduct forbids staff to talk to the media without permission, but we still find ourselves in these situations. And then I will hand over to Tabile to talk about the consulting fees, and then to Sylvia about the TV license issues, and also to Chris, if there's any comment you want to make.
Which union is recognized by SABC?
Okay, so there are two unions that are recognized by the SABC in terms of the thresholds that they have achieved, which is 500 members. Mwasa has got a limited rights recognition, which really is, they can come in, they can have a meeting, but we don't actually engage them formally, because they haven't met the threshold yet. So it's the MAU and CW, and then Mwasa is on a limited basis. The MAU, the CW, Communication Workers Union, and then Mwasa is the one with the limited rights.
As you respond, You are also, I mean, the CFO. You are also using suppliers who are not in the central database, according to your report. There is a central database And I hear that you use 66%, but the rest is outside the central database. I mean, is that not a problem for PFMA?
It's a problem for us, but she'll explain the type of vendors that are not on the CDB.
So just on the professional and consulting fee question that was asked, we got three biggest payments that we do through this process. So the first one is the Auditor General payments, which is for our external audit, so it's law. And then the second one, it's related to legal fees. So legal fees are accounted as part of professional and consulting fees. So at times we do have to have like external consultation to deal with our legal matters as the SABC. And then the third one is the SIU, which is for all the investigations that they are conducting on behalf of the SABC. Okay, and then the issue around the suppliers that are not on the central database, there has been that issue, Chair, where we have had suppliers who, some of them are foreign suppliers who are not on the who are not on the on the National Treasury database, but due to the nature of our procurement, we have to actually procure from them. For example, if we use our content suppliers, so your Disney, your Disney's and your FIFA's, those will not be on the central database. But due to us having to flight, our mandate, soccer as mandate, we have to obtain rights from them. And then, but what we do is we actually have a minimum requirement that is set out in Treasury to say of things that they should comply with. For example, they have to be tax compliant, for them to trade with us. So we do insist on those. So it's not like, we willy-nilly trading with people. But in terms of us being able to actually move into being 100% compliant, we are working hard to make sure that all the suppliers that we're paying, and we do regularly check that all of them are registered on the central database.
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick response with regard to the collection mechanisms once the Lona Vision contract was cancelled. That was mid-2017. What was agreed upon with the interim board at the time was that, as the acting CEO alluded when she was presenting earlier on, is that a lot of the internal mechanisms, collection mechanisms that we had to be resuscitated. And what it meant is that we had to follow the necessary governance processes to bring those mechanisms back into our internal collection processes. The current focus now, since the Lona Vision cancellation, is basically on renewals, which is your existing accounts that are on the database that must renew on an annual basis, as well as debt collection, because those are the two major revenue streams within TV licenses. So some of the procurement processes are still underway. They are not yet completed, but we are hopeful that in the new financial year, we will have all those mechanisms back into the internal process of collections. I'm just going to respond to the collections, the debt collection fees that I think we raised by two members. What we need to bear in mind is that the revenue that is reflected for collections of TV license, that is the overall cash injection that we get from our public. So whenever you are supposed to renew your license, that cash injection from a particular license holder is the figure that we indicated earlier on in the presentation. However, I would like us to consider TV license collections as self-funding, because we do not charge additional fees for us to collect successfully. So at the end of the financial year, for accounting purposes, what we do is we take the cash injection, the cash revenue that was reflected, and we also take into account the collection fees that were spent in bringing in that money. And the remainder thereof we consider as the profit that has been made. So whenever we set our targets, we have to move from the profit that was made the previous financial year to the next financial year. So the collection, the debt collection fees, a lot of the time would entail we send SMSs and email communications on a monthly basis, weekly basis. There's always communication going out. So it will include processes like that. We also have pay points where license fees can be paid. That is your major retailers, the banks and all of that. Those fees are also included in there. So we need to also consider that apart from just collecting license fees, there's also external service providers such as the ones that I've mentioned that we utilize because we need a national footprint. We must be able to collect everywhere, whether it's urban or rural parts of the country, because we depend largely for the rural on the South African Post Office for collection of TV license fees. And then there was a question about the process to be followed when a person needs, we call it a cancellation, when a person needs to cancel a license. Those processes or guidelines are actually available on our website. We've, over a number of years, we've taken time and spent marketing expenditures to be able to educate our public. It really just depends on the era that we are in. Where we are right now is that we're coming from an era where we've lost our customer confidence. So that is our priority right now, to gain back that customer confidence. But all the information is available on the website. The only thing that is required, and all these requirements are in line with the TV license legislation that governs us. They are available on the website. The one common requirement is that we must get an affidavit from the license holder as well as proof that they have immigrated, and that will enable us to cancel the licenses. Those are everyday operational processes that take place. And then just a comment, I think, on the legislation. I do agree that we are collecting license fees with limited legislative rules. I mean, we are collecting license fees with a piece of legislation that is more than 20 years old. So clearly it has not kept up to date with the way society has changed and has moved, and it makes it a bit difficult for us to be able to collect successfully. That's one of the issues. The other issue is that what we need to bear in mind is that we need on an annual basis to increase our revenue. However, you will constantly be chasing an amount that has been stayed the same for over 6 years, and despite all the inflation changes and whatever, the TV license tariff stays the same. However, in terms of the legislation, the only legal recourse I believe we have is a fine or imprisonment, and those are some of the changes that we really need to, together with the SABC board, obviously, that we need to look into to enhance the collection of license fees.
Thank you. Your time is up.
I know it is, Chair. There were some few questions that we did not deal with. Was our time up?
Maybe, Chair, if you allow, can they submit them in writing to the committee so that as we come in the next engagement, we do follow up on those things?
Because they really don't have time now. The other thing that we'll have to do, apart from those issues, is to just to give you issues for you to action out of the discussions we had today as kind of decisions that we've taken for action purposes HCO. Thank you very much. I understand that we, unfortunately, we have only 1 hour with the CASA. Unfortunately, you've taken all the time. Yeah, thank you very much. You may remain, but if you want, you may leave. I can see Board Chairperson wants to run away. But you must listen to what the CASA is going to say. Thank you very much. Over to you, CASA. No, ACBC. SABC, please. SABC, may you please leave. Miss Piliso, may you please leave. Thank you very much, members, and welcome ICASA. Deputy Minister, can you start, Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Because of the challenges of SABC, when we engage with the committee, we must just have the SABC alone, because other entities suffer, and it's important that you are able to get a totality of issues about the entities that you are doing oversight on. But Chair, let me indicate that I'm with the Regulator of Electronic Communications of the Republic of South Africa in the name of ICASA. With me is the CEO of ICASA is here, Mr. Mwepeu. I also have councillors, Mekadi, and the CFO, Teboho Matavani, and David Mulampo from MNE, as an MNE specialist. I must indicate, Chair, that we tried to hit the ground running as the minister and myself just to engage and interact with entities, and we also met with ICASA because we thought we must quickly close ranks with our entities and look at the challenges that they are faced with. And if there are areas where they need our specific interventions, we can be able to deal with that. Through you, Chair, we have a challenge of the chairperson. It is in the public domain. There are issues that are there, and I think your committee is on top of the situation. The minister is also looking at the process closely. Even when we met with ICASA, it's one of the things that we said to councillors, the issue of the chair has come to our attention, so we hope that process will unfold accordingly through the relevant structures. Just to indicate, Chair, this entity is also going to present Quarter 2 report on the progress made on the APP and the areas that we may not have been able to reach the targets, but ICASA in terms of its financial situation. You know, you are aware that it had an unqualified report. There may be areas of irregular expenditure and matters of emphasis, but one of the things that we said they must do is to develop a plan to respond to some of those things. So it's a standard engagement that we do. On the financial reporting, all of them must show how they are dealing with the issues and improving so that when the next audit is done, then there's improvement from the side of the entity. Just one last thing, Chair. The signing of performance agreement, it has been something that is outstanding. It's something very close to the minister. Remember, minister is going to deal with SABC and ICASA directly, and I've been delegated other responsibilities. So from time to time, I'll say minister because I know it is the responsibility that she'll be dealing with. But in any way, we are able to go to all these entities together so that all of us know what we are responsible for. So this is ICASA, and maybe let me allow the Councillor Mekadi to take us through, and then our CEO to then take the committee through on actual activities.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and members of the committee as well. We have introduced the delegation here today, and we shall be accounting for quarter two. Let me say this is the first report after our appointment as the new councillors that we found in ICASA's agenda in terms of our oversight responsibility. And we have, as council, looked at it and followed through the compelling case of the entity to follow proper governance, but also to be as effective as possible. There are just two issues, Chair, that one would highlight, and then the CEO will take over with the operational matters. It's the lower performance trends we've noted in terms of our finance, which was at 33%. It will be accounted for here. That is mainly on the 30 days payment of service providers. And it meant that ICASA could not continue paying if there were issues of quality and due diligence that needed to be paid. But also the issue of license and revenues that were not forthcoming as targeted. So that is what led to a bit of underperformance in that regard. And two other issues in the current year under review. It's the local, it's the sports broadcasting review that we are busy with, and we'll be working with SABC in that regard to answer some of the dilemmas they have indicated here insofar as our mandate is concerned. But also the elections broadcasting review of regulations as well. We are currently busy with that in terms of assisting our public mandate for the state of readiness. I'm going to hand over to CEO to give us the report as prescribed.
Thank you, Councillor Gadi, and thank you, Deputy Minister. Good afternoon, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Chair, with your permission, I think we'll get straight into it. I think on previous occasions you have advised that we not dwell much on our mandate and strategic goals and strategic objectives because the committee is very, very familiar with them. Suffice to say, Chair, that we're presenting the report as prepared in line or in accordance with the National Treasury Frameworks for public entities. Chair, I think the slide on strategic goals, our goals haven't changed, at least for the current medium-term period, just to emphasize that we have to ensure that we facilitate investment and access to broadband, we have to facilitate competition, and more importantly, we have to contribute to social cohesion. The strategic objectives are listed on this slide, and they all emanate from the strategic outcome-oriented goals. And the report that's been presented to you, Chair, talks specifically to how we have performed in the quarter in respect of attainment of those strategic goals. This slide, Chair, summarizes our performance for the quarter, and I think one of the things that I just thought I should highlight there is that for Program 1, which has about 5 sub-programs, we have achieved 67% cumulatively for the entire program. Where we have a column that says not achieved and we indicate zero, that's primarily because we are illustrating that there is no deliverable in respect of which work was not done. So we have highlighted what was achieved, and we have highlighted what was partially achieved, but the percentage is basically a difference between what was achieved and not, and what was not achieved. In respect of Program 2, which is the licensing program, we achieved 60% of the set targets for the quarter. For policy research and analysis, our performance was at 50%. For engineering and technology, our performance was at 33%. And for regions and consumer and compliance, respectively, we performed at 67% and 71%. This is just a almost a diagrammatic representation of the summary that I spoke to, and as well as the next one, the next slide also just shows a diagrammatic summary of the slide that I spoke to. Can we move to the next slide and the next one. Chair, we'll now talk to the specific details around the deliverables that were set and indicate how we performed and explain where there was areas of non-achievement. So under Program 1, the first sub-program is corporate services. We had one deliverable for that quarter, which related to the rollout or rather the establishment of additional ICASA offices in the provinces where we do not have a presence. That target, the deliverable in respect of that target was that we will advertise a tender for the establishment of the offices in Northwest. That was achieved. The next up program is finance, and here we have three deliverables. The first one relates to the collection of revenue. Our target for Q2 was that we will collect 99% of the revenue that was due in that quarter. We fell slightly short. We only were able to collect 98%. And the reason for that is that there are a couple of licensees who have hit difficult times and are on payment plans. We expect that based on the plans that we have entered into with them, we will then get the fees coming in the subsequent period. On payment of suppliers, our target was that we will pay 95% of all our suppliers within the prescribed 30-day period. Again, on this one, we fell short. We only were able to meet 85% of those suppliers. And again, in this respect, the issue really revolves around the due diligence that needs to take place to validate that the performance has actually been provided and rendered and before we pay. On the audit opinion, Chair, I think we just need to emphasize, as the Deputy Minister has alluded, that there are a number of findings that we have to deal with, and we have come up with an audit action plan, and the mitigations to address those findings are currently being implemented. On HR, we had two deliverables for the quarter. We achieved one. We did not meet the other one that relates to the vacancy rate. And I think you will see when we talk to the financial performance that there are a couple of vacancies that we have in the organization. And the reason why we were not able to meet the 8.5% or rather the 8% vacancy rate is because we had a number of resignations and terminations in that quarter. And we will then address all the issues that have come up through the exit interviews as we move forward through the year. The next up program talks to internal audit, and in respect of this sub program, we had four deliverables, and there is only one that we did not meet, which relates to the number of audits that internal audit needed to perform. So instead of the six instead of the 8 that we had planned to complete, only 6 were completed. And the delays with the other 2 related primarily to delays in the provision of information by the relevant divisions. The legal risk and CCC sub-program had 2 deliverables for the quarter, and both of those deliverables were met in the quarter. I will now move on to the second program, Chair, which is licensing. During this period, there were a couple of deliverables. The first one talked to the percentage of class broadcasting service license applications and renewals, as well as transfers and amendments that needed to be processed within 30 days. Our target was that 92% of all such applications will be processed within the given timelines, and we fell short by 2%, and we were only able to meet 90% of those applications being processed within the prescribed timelines. And with respect to the other 2, there were delays in obtaining all the necessary additional information that we sought from the applicants to clarify the queries that we had from the authorities' side. The percentage of type approval applications requirement was met for the quarter. When it comes to numbering applications, again, the requirement is that the target was that we must process 96% of all the numbering applications we receive within 20 working days. We were only able to meet 87% of the numbering applications, and the reason here is that we had to divert resources to the project pertaining to amendment of the number portability regulations, and as a result, the same resources were not able to handle the numbering applications. But I must hasten to add, Chair, that the team is now back on track, having finalized the regulations project, and we will be catching up on all the outstanding applications such that we will meet the target for the year. The applications for change of controls were met. I will then move on to the next program, which is the policy research and analysis program. This program had only 2 deliverables, Chair, in the period under review. The target relating to the tariff analysis report was met. The deliverable relating to the research reports on the broadcasting of national sporting events was met, except, Chair, for the fact that even though the documents were ready and ought to have been submitted, they were not approved by council as of the end of Q2 due to delays in the tabling of the submissions. However, we will then have them approved accordingly in the subsequent quarter. The next program, Chair, is the Engineering and Technology Program. In this program, Chair, we had 3 deliverables. The first deliverable related to the development of the frequency migration plan, and the target here was that we would have at least 20% of the work pertaining to the development of the frequency migration plan completed. We did not fully meet that target, and again, we had the reason for the delay, or rather the reason for the failure to meet the deliverable, was that we had some challenges with concluding the procurement process in time to get the relevant expertise on board to assist with that project. On the frequency spectrum assignment plans, the target was that we would develop 1 frequency assignment plan, and that target was met. On the quality of service monitoring, the target for Q2 was that we will have 1 province monitored on voice only for quality of service. In this regard, Chair, we completed the monitoring in respect of a number of provinces. I think we did Mpumalanga, we did Limpopo, we did Northwest, and we also did the measurements in the Free State. However, given the consultative nature of the process and the delays in getting responses from the operators, we could not publish those reports. Those reports were then subsequently published in the subsequent periods. Can you move on? Chair, the next program is Program 5, which is the Regions Program. This is where the bulk of the enforcement action takes place in terms of ensuring compliance by the licensed operators, as well as ensuring that there are no illegal operators that could cause either harmful interference with licensed operators, or that could even result in harm for consumers by selling non-type approved devices. So in respect of this program, we had five targets. We had about eight deliverables, which I will quickly glance through. And the key thing to note with this program is that in respect of all the deliverables in Q2, the program achieved 100%. So we had the deliverable relating to the resolution of radio frequency interference cases. The target was that we must resolve 94% of the cases referred to us. We resolved 97%. We have a program here in terms of which we're devolving certain functions from the headquarters to the regional offices. So our target in this period was that we will conduct training which will facilitate the additional sort of devolution of services to regional offices. That was met. We said we would also conduct broadcasting compliance inspections, again, to see whether the community broadcasters that have been licensed are adhering to the license requirements and get the kind of support that is expected from the regulator. We met that deliverable. The high site investigations, as well as the type approval compliance inspections, we met and exceeded the targets that were set for ourselves. On the net joint instructions, and this is the instruction through which we work with the law enforcement agencies to monitor the provision of communication services during events of national importance, whether it's the SONA or the provincial state of the province address. The ICASA team then participate through the net joints. We met all the deliverables that were set under that target for the year. In terms of the frequency spectrum applications that needed to be processed, the target was that we will process 94% of the applications that are submitted to us. We exceeded that target, and we processed about 99% of the applications. The last program, Chair, is the Compliance and Consumer Affairs Program. Under this program, we had about eight targets, and out of the eight, we were not able to meet two of them. The first was around the establishment of the Consumer Advisory Panel. We had intended that by the end of Q2, we would have completed the shortlisting and the interviews and hopefully be close enough to the appointment. But as of the end of the quarter, we only had done the shortlisting. And the delay really was around coordinating availability of both the applicants as well as the councillors who were supposed to conduct the interviews. The other area on which we didn't meet the deliverable set related to the resolution of inter-licensee disputes. These are the disputes between licensed operators. They could pertain to either facilities leasing or they could pertain to interconnection. Where they are not able to agree, they referred the dispute to us, and we had set ourselves a target that 60% of all those disputes that have been referred to us will be resolved within the quarter, and we're only able to resolve 50% of those. And the challenge really was about the amount of time it took to go through some of the voluminous documents that are submitted in respect of those disputes. Chair, the last slide really just provides a comparison between Q1 and Q2. We thought we would just illustrate how we are doing in terms of improving on our performance over the two quarters. And we have listed all the areas where during Q1 our performance was a bit low, and try to indicate how we have now improved in respect of those specific targets. That's just the high level summary, Chair. And I think the trend looks fairly positive from where we are sitting in terms of the areas that were of concern in Q1 vis-a-vis how we have now performed in Q2. Finally, Chair, from my side, before the CFO goes into the financials, there is a slight drop in our performance when we compare Q1 and Q2. I think that the drop is fairly insignificant. It's less than 2%. So one would argue that we have remained fairly stable in terms of Q1 and Q2. But ultimately, we're hoping that we will pick up the momentum in Q3 and Q4, such that hopefully by the end of the financial year we would have performed better than the past financial year. I'm going to pause here, Chair, and allow the CFO to perhaps just quickly run through the financial report. Thanks.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and colleagues, good day. Chair, without wasting your time, I would like to request that we move to the next slide, where we have a detailed narrative for each and every amount. Next slide. Thank you. Chair, in terms of our financial performance for the first two quarters of the financial year, we managed to collect 43% of the budgeted amount. Reason being, the shortfall of 7% is due to the fact that when we request our quarterly drawings, the first two quarters we normally make it 40% and the last two quarters 60% of our annual allocation. There is an amount of 1.5 which was included, which was not included on the disclosed amount. This amount relates to the deferred grants that were actually allocated to ICASA 3 years ago. So as and when we need additional funding, we'll then draw from this allocation. In terms of interest income, money generated on a monthly basis, we generate interest on these ones. There was an additional allocation that was transferred to ICASA 3 years ago. This amount was invested. That's why we managed to actually collect a better percentage of our interest during the quarter. The budgeted amount to date was actually below 19.4% of the allocation or expected income for Q2. This amount increased in Q3, Chair. In terms of other income, we have a total amount of 600,000 that was collected. Included in this amount is 500,000, which was collected from sale of assets that were disposed here during the second quarter. For the first two quarters, actual expenditure was 198 million, which is 0.2% below the estimated expenditure for the quarter. Moving to expenditure, Chair, we have our OPEX. I'll start with OPEX. From program 1 till program 6, linking it to our performance program. The total amount budgeted for the year is 243 million, and year to date we are sitting at 202 million. The shortfall for the first two quarters is 40 million. We can move to the next slide. First one, Chair, Program 1, which is administration, we have a breakdown for all programs or sub-programs falling under this administration. The first one is Council Expenditure, Chair, which is sitting at, it was sitting at 7.8 million, and the total expenditure collected or paid to date actually was 66.1%. There was an underspending of 33.9%. This was due to vacancies at that level. Yes, we do appreciate the fact that these positions were filled during the third quarter of the financial year. Program 2, which is the CEO's program, We have actual expenditure sitting at 3.2. Underspending was 17.2%. Underspending was due to the following: low printing incurred. We only started incurring expenditure in Q3 relating to our printing cost. And the second one was on the strategic session budget, which we resolved to actually host internally. That led to underspending or savings on the budget. The third one is COO's office. The actual expenditure was sitting at 2.6 million, with underspending sitting at 22.7%. This is mainly on the travel budget, which was lower during the first two quarters. Moving to the next target or APP program under administration is finance. Actual expenditure is 28 million, underspending sitting at 8.1%. This is due to low expenditure on insurance premiums. What happened here is we managed to convince the service provider not to increase the premium for the year. They were supposed to be increased in August, so they agreed to actually leave this one, the normal expenditure, up until the end of the financial year. And in addition to this, it was a saving or underspenditure on travel budget, where we do asset verification at regional level. This was undertaken during the current calendar year or Q4, the financial year in January. Human resources, actual expenditure is 16.4 million, with underspending sitting at 5.3% of the budgeted amount. This was mainly due to underspending in training cost. Bulk of this was actually paid in January, when our employees registered again for the new calendar year. And there were also vacancies within the divisions, which were actually filled last month. Legal, risk, and CCC, this is our legal department. We have actual expenditure sitting at 12.5%. Under the expenditure under this division, there was a lower expenditure due to lesser invoices received during the first two quarters, mainly during the current during the second quarter. Planned consulting work, which was done in Q3, mainly on the risk consulting. Fewer CCC meetings held during the first two quarters. Most of these meetings were held in Q3, towards the end of Q3. Next slide. Internal audit, actual expenditure is sitting at 6.3 million, with underspending on the vacancies due to a manager position, which we are battling to actually recruit because of the skills we were trying to attract. Corporate services, actual expenditure is 43% for the first two quarters, with underspending sitting at 18.1%. Bulk of this change is due to software license renewals, which actually increased in Q3. Some of these licenses were renewed in Q4 in January. International engagements, that will include travel and S&Ts. Bulk of this is under corporate services. The expenditure is expected to increase in Q3. As for the first two quarters, there was underspending on this budget line item. There were vacancies within the divisions. Within the division, these vacancies were actually filled towards the end of Q3 of the current financial year. Now moving to core programs, licensing, starting with licensing, actual expenditure is 24 million, with underspending sitting at 12.6% of the budget. Here there was a low cost on protective clothing for field workers. This will be a saving when we close the financial year. There were no licensed equipment maintenance costs as compared to other financial years. In this one, we are actually going to recruit a new equipment for the next half financial year. Moving to Program 3, Engineering and Technology, actual expenditure is 7.9 million, with underspending sitting at 29.1%. This is due to the following budget line items. There were low repairs and maintenance on this division because we procured new equipment during the first two quarters. Travel cost was low during the quarter. Colleagues will be traveling. I think the increase will be in Q4. Conferences and meetings, because of cost containment measures that were implemented after the age audit, we are going to have underspending on this line item because most of our meetings are held internal. Protective clothing, we just finalized during Q4 procurement of this protective clothing for our quality of service engineers. And there were vacancies within the division which were actually filled during the current quarter in January. Policy research and analysis, 6.6 million was incurred to date. Underspending was sitting at 45.6%. There were a number of vacancies on this program, Chair, but these positions were also finalized in December, which is the Q3 of the current financial year, Chair. Program 5, compliance and consumer affairs, actual expenditure sitting at 11 million. Which with our underspending sitting at 9.2%. Here, the main contributing budget line item was on the travel expenditure, which was not undertaken during the first two quarters. The last one on the OPEX is regions with our actual expenditure sitting at 32.2 million, with underspending sitting at 12.2%. This is due to vacancies in Limpopo. This office, we managed to get an office space towards the end of Q3. We recruited staff for this office during the current financial year. We are hoping that by the end of the financial year, they will have a full staff complement. And the Northwest, we are finalizing the appointment of a service provider this week. This one, they will be underspending because we can only start recruiting after securing an office space. By April, which is the next financial year, we will be able to fill the positions in this region. That's all, Chair, in terms of OPEX. And in terms of CAPEX, Chair, most of these are projects, these are all over projects. So as and when there is an expenditure, we'll then record expenditures such as actual expenditure against the projected budget on this project line item. As at reporting date, we were sitting at 22% of the total budget allocated for this OPEX project. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. DM, nothing?
Not really, Honorable Chair. I think, like I did with the SABC, that there should be items that remain on the agenda for some time. And I think this is one of the things that probably as the portfolio committee, you'll want update from progress on the spectrum going forward. What options are they going to take? Penetration of ICT services in the rural areas. How far are we going? Because these are some of the areas that you'll want ICASA to assist in making sure that some of these things are happening. Of course, there are a regulator. There are other players within the who are also part of our entity. So I don't want us to leave some of these things or put them below the radar. Let them be on the radar so that from time to time we look at that, including issues of preparing our rural communities for digital migration. So I had thought those are some of the things that as we look at the quarterly reports on how we are faring on the APP, there are other obligatory things that we also want to look at. And the regulator can, from time to time, share with the committee on where they think there are legislative imperatives that the committee can assist in making sure that we fast track through Parliament and make sure that certain things are enacted. So I would want those kind of questions to come from time to time. Thank you.
Okay, members, that's ICASA, but CEO. On actual performance. This thing of partially achieved, what is it? I mean, if you look at program one, you say planned 12, achieved 8, partially achieved 4, and then not achieved 0. Because I think if it's not achieved, it's not achieved. It can't be partial. I don't know the page. It's from the... It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Page 4. Yeah, the first table in your this deck. There are no page numbers here. Do you see it? It's like this. It's the first thing, like this. Come again? Yeah, because you say planned, then achieved partially. Can we just do away with partially? Partially achieved, because it misleads us. And then it says not achieved, zero. And then achieved, then 67%. Don't bring us partially achieved anymore. Just planned, achieved, not achieved, and then achieved. So that we are clear, because it's misleading. First hand, Teddy.
Thank you. Just a few quick issues, Jeff. But let me appreciate the presentation by ICASA. Obviously, we had expected progress with regard to issues that we have raised in the past when we met. I think we have stated, Acting DG will remember, that has been a standing arrangement, that every time an entity comes before us here, we need progress in terms of the issues that we have raised in our past engagements. The issue of licenses for community radio, can we be briefed on the status in terms of the moratoria? We have raised it last week with, I think, GCIS, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll appreciate to get from the regulator in terms of where we are with regard to that particular issue. The auctioning of assets to staff, can you brief us on the policy? 697,000 has been collected in that respect. Can you brief us on that policy? The second last one, Chair. You tried as much as you can to try and justify on programs where you did not achieve 100%. But I'm worried about internal audit, which to me is very key, because this particular aspect led to us having some irregular and fruitless expenditures if this matter is not attended to as urgently as possible. So you have indicated that has been as a result of that vacancy having not been filled as in the manager. So I'm worried about that particular position, which to me is very key for the regulator to be able to attend to a whole range of other issues that the auditor, the AG, has been raising. The last one, Chair, is the issue of underspending. As in September, you were 22% in terms of project budget, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it was only consumer and compliance that has spent more than 50%. Am I right? Seemingly. I'm worried about this one. Because it's a song that we have always been singing, Chair. I think we raised it earlier with the SABC, that it can't be right that people complain about money not being there. But when it's there, you don't spend. It's wrong. We'll have to improve very seriously with regard to this particular aspect. The other day, we we made an example of some almost 40 M that you referred back to the department. You remember, such as Sibo. And we're very harsh on you with regard to this particular issue. That it can't be right that people complain about money not being there, but when it's there, you don't spend. It's wrong. People want services. They don't want you to take money back to the department or to treasury instead of you spending. You must come before us here and say, you have given us 10 rand. We have spent the whole of it. Give us money. So how do we assist you to motivate to those who must give you money when you don't spend it? So I'm just like saying it's one area, Chair, that ICASA need to try and improve. But overall, I think personally I'm impressed about the work that is being done. At least it shows that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Thanks, Chair.
Just a quick one. Your slides are not numbered. That's very standard. I mean, you can't bring slides that are not numbered. On what I was raising, just tell me, CEO, on internal audit, you have planned 4, you have achieved 3. But you have achieved, in terms of percentage, 75%. How do you come to 75%? Do you see that one? Planned 4, achieved 3. And then your partially achieved is 1. But you come with 75. How did you come to 75%? Maybe I can understand the... Just on that one, just respond to that one. How do you come to 75%, really?
Thank you, Chair. I mean, my colleagues and Councillor Kadi will come in. Perhaps let's kick off with the point you're raising around this slide and the 75% for internal audit. And apologies, Chair and members, for the unnumbered slides. In terms of the introduction of partial achievement, I think Chair and members would notice that this is the first time that we have this. In our past presentations, we didn't have it. And I think we felt the need to explain that even where things are not achieved, there is work that has been done. And I think what we should have done, instead of saying partially achieved, was perhaps to just provide a status update on the things that were not achieved. And I think we'll correct that when we come back. To take the example of internal audit, Chair, in the context of the explanation I've given, I don't understand calculations well, but I think if you have planned 4, we take that 4 to be 100%. And then you say I've achieved 3, and then you say 3 out of 4, percentage-wise, it amounts to 75%. I think that's how I understand it at a basic level. Again, appreciating that the partial achievement ought not to have been structured in the manner that it was.
Fandam?
Thanks, Chair. I just want to correct the Deputy Minister. We love all our entities equally. The SABC is not the favorite, so ICASA mustn't feel like we don't love them. We love you very much. I just wanted to ask 2 questions. One is about the update on the complaints we submitted. The last we heard from you was that you're waiting documents from MultiChoice. Can we just have a brief update on where that investigation is? And then we know that there have been applications, there have been 4 applications for free-to-air channels, but in your Gazette on 13 March, you only gave names. You didn't give full details. You didn't make the full applications public, and you've opened it for public comments until the 4th of April. But how do you expect the public to comment if they don't have full details? It must be on the website. You can't send people to your offices in Joburg. I mean, people are based all over in the country, so those applications, please be put on the website. Also, can you just give us a brief overview of who those applicants are, their names, what the content of the application is, just a broad overview of those applications, please. Thank you.
Sandeek?
Chair, on program 2, licensing, at the bottom, it says percentage of radio frequency spectrum license applications processed within 60 working days, and then it gives an average of 83%, and the target for quarter 2 is 83. And then in the next column, it indicates give a 96.35% of spectrum applications processed within working days. This is very confusing for me because I don't really understand. There's a moratorium on the from 22 September 2015. Is this only is this not related to community media then? But where do you get spectrum if you say there's a shortage? And then also, if you say 83%, how many is it actually? It can be one, it can be five, it can be 10. So how many licenses have you actually processed? And then program 5, I'm also a bit confused on the, you say on the third row, 277 broadcasters have been inspected. That gives you 36%, and the target was 10%, but the target for the whole 2017-18, is that 30% target, is that for the year or is it for the quarter? Because if it's for the year, Why only 30% target for monitoring or oversight? Do you understand that one? Then I want to know on quarter 1 and 2, performance comparisons. I'm a bit confused there too. On the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th row, it says quarter 1, the target is 92% and the achievement is, the variance is 92 because it wasn't achieved. Then the target for quarter 2 is also 92% and you achieve that. I want to know if that 29% that you didn't achieve for the previous quarter, is that now been carried over to the second quarter? And it's the same with the quarter on the number of province-specific quality or of service reports. It indicates 2, none was done the first quarter, and in the second quarter, only 1 was done. So that means actually that if you don't perform, didn't perform in the first quarter, the work was only 50% done in the second quarter, the first quarter's work, if it's only carried over. So then it, yeah. If I hope I'm making myself clear. I also, just the one below, the number of high-site investigations conducted. The target for quarter one is 375. You achieved 90 was not achieved. And then the target for quarter two was 375. I'm not sure how you managed to then do 688. But what happened to the 90? Was it now included in the next quarter? And what was the reason for that huge variance? Then I want to know, was there any unauthorized or irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred for this period? Okay, that's all from my side.
Okay. Next.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. And thank you for your introduction, Deputy Minister. Mine, Chair, is to know about the staff vacant position in the operating expenditure budget. There's no breakdown here about those vacancies. What is the type of the vacancies that is vacant? To Chair, in this issue of the license, there's the issue of 50% of the licenses that are approved. In my understanding, ICASA says said they don't have a spectrum anymore. But is the spectrum available for the those application from the community? Chair, I just need your attention. There's a noise next to me, and I'm worried. Maybe I'm out of order.
You are protected. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Accepted. I think, Chair, in terms of those applications, I'm not sure whether ICASA is still in that problem of a spectrum, because I believe there are many applicants coming straight to you for radio stations. But I'm also appealing to you, how do you assist those people who don't know how to apply for the licenses? Because we have that problem even in Guguletu, of those people who seek to have the radio station, but they don't know how to apply. How do you assist them so that you can...
Okay.
Thanks.
If there are no more questions, first one, we must close the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. I will touch on a few strategic issues and also indicate to colleagues to assist with the substantive matters as well. The first one is the assistance of communities to apply for licensing. I'm going to leave the moratorium issue to the CEO, but mine will reflect on the community broadcasting regulation that we have, which is currently under review, Honorable Machoba, and it also begins to raise this question that are our communities ready with the number of licenses that are required by them? Are they ready to handle entities that are of technical nature? Do they have the institutions to run these, including governance and boards as well? We are currently working with that, going back to communities to find ways, and we're finding that many of these programs, especially community broadcasting institutions, there is quite a number of conflicts and challenges from our own communities. Therefore, we'll be able to find ways and means with the communities coming with better ways of governance in particular. But ICASA at a technical level, we're proposing that we should be developmental such that we are able to do handholding with the licensing and the application process. And that's the licensing division at ICASA that will be doing that. Secondly, the positions breakdown as well, you have requested. It's unfortunate we couldn't maneuver like SABC and change the slides. And we do have that information, and we are requesting that we submit it so that it informs the committee. The third question, Honorable Van Damme, refers to the two issues, the one of multi-choice and the investigation. I think the level of detail required compels us to also respond in writing, as it has been done previously, so that we deal with the matter substantively. But I can assure you, we are in a process of proceeding as per the last letter indicating where the process is. There's also an issue you raised on the free-to-air as well, requesting names, the applications, and who are those, and at what level, and who are the names, and why are they not published in the website. We're going to go back and see if there's disparity in terms of how we have published the matter. But we'll provide the committee with the necessary information. At this point, one will request the committee that we allow CEO to deal with the operational issues so that we focus on how best we end and complete the current financial year as it's ending next week. Thank you.
Yes, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Can I perhaps deal with the questions from Honorable Tedi? And I think that there may be an interrelation between the question he raised on the moratorium and the question that Honorable Van Dijk raised, as well as the one raised by Honorable Matobo. I think on the moratorium, Chair, the status is that the moratorium is still in effect. However, the review of the regulatory framework pertaining to community broadcasting services is at an advanced stage. We're expecting that there will be draft regulations published by the end of this month, which is the end of the financial year, and then we'll go through a process of consultation on those draft regulations, and hopefully by the second quarter, if not earlier, of the next financial year, we will then come up with the new regulations, which will inform how we license community broadcasting services going forward. So from where I'm sitting, obviously taking the lead and guidance from Council, I would say at the very latest, we should have the moratorium lifted during the course of the next financial year, because then we would have completed the, regulatory review process. On the question pertaining to the internal audit and the concern around the vacancies, I think it's also a concern for us. What we have then decided to do, at least in respect of the recruitment challenges we've had in respect of those positions, was to allow internal audit to then outsource some of the audits that they need to undertake that require immediate attention. So while we're waiting for the recruitment process to be completed, we have decided that we will not let the work sort of lag behind. We will allow the use of external consultants. Obviously, mindful of the the financial and fiscal constraints that pertain to use of consultants, but we think this is an exceptional space where, if we don't address it and arrest it, we may end up with bigger problems. So I'm hoping that those audits that were lagging behind will then be finalised, and they will all be finalised before we get to the end of the financial year, so we can address all the issues there. The underspending question. I think we're sitting in a very difficult situation at ICASA. The members will recall that there was a time when our performance was sitting at 25%, 36% in terms of delivery on targets, but we were spending money. Now we're sitting in an environment where we've sort of stabilized the performance of the organization in the 70% level, but we're not spending. So I think that there is some disconnect between how we plan our targets and how we budget. And I think it's one of those things that I think in the current financial year, the year starting in the next financial year, we have tried to address in terms of aligning the budget appropriately to the targets. Because there are instances where when we plan, we would then say we're going to use consultants and budget accordingly. If we were to take a very specific example of the National Radio Frequency Plan that we had to develop, as part of planning for that project, we then included the use of consultants as part of the budget, only to then decide at some point earlier on in the financial year that we will do it with the internal experts and also draw on the experts from the Department of Communications and the Department of Telecoms. As a result, we ended up not utilizing that budgetary allocation.
Around that.
So we need to clear that, disconnect. The question around spectrum. And the disconnect where we where members see the percentage spectrum applications. That spectrum does not relate to community broadcasting services. It relates to electronic communication services. So it's typically the spectrum used for mobile communication services and even fixed mobile services. So the spectrum moratorium for broadcasters remain. Chair, I don't know if there's anything I've left out, but I will then allow CFO to deal with the question on irregular expenditure that was raised.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Just to be quick, let me start with the issue on assets. Yes, Honorable said we do have a policy. We are actually in the process of reviewing that policy because we want to incorporate ICT equipment. So we had two policies that were actually being implemented. So we are in the process of finalizing, reviewing the current policies and making sure we have one policy so that we don't have confusion. In terms of UIFW expenditure,
Members will recall that when the issues were raised, the issues we have on the audit report, when they were raised, it was during the current financial year, which was after the Q1 of the current financial year. So the issues that were raised by the AG automatically had a negative impact on the first quarter of the current financial year, because the issues raised by the AGs were raised in July. So we implemented the new controls, or we improved the controls effective from the mid-July to current, we had to review our current procedures effective from July. So they will have an impact in the first quarter. Therefore, we will have irregular expenditure. But what we have since done internally, we have reinvestigated the first quarter expenditure. That report was prepared and submitted to internal audit for review. So that final report will be tabled at audit committee and then cancelled later on. So we will be reporting on that one. We also, we are in consultation with AG on some of these findings that were raised in last year that we think they were not supposed to be there. So, but we are hoping that we will be able to avoid this in the current financial year. Where we agree, we will be able to clear some of them. We managed to recover some of the expenses that were more on the fruitless and wasteful. We recovered some of the transactions. We will be reporting back on that expenditure.
Chair,
members.
There was a question by Councillor Van Dijk in terms of the numbers.
No, it's not a councillor.
Oh, sorry. I work with councillors. I always,
Can you do it in 1 minute?
Yeah, I'll do it in 1 minute. The way it works is that if you look at the figures that we have there, what you basically have is all the targets are determined a priori. What it means is that each quarter is determined and then we start implementing. And now, if you look at what we have done here, we have compared variance to variance, not difference to quarter. So if you look at the table there, we have actually compared the brownish columns. It's just that it's not showing up there. So if you look at the comparison that happens there is that we are comparing the brownish columns. So if you look at the first one, for instance, just as an illustration, we have variance which is minus 4% for quarter one. And then when you look at quarter two, it's minus 1%. So from an improvement point of view, it means we have moved from a minus 4 to a minus 1, which is a plus 3. So that is really the logic that actually permeates through the whole table.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. We can't help it. Thanks, Deputy Minister. Thanks, CASA. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.